on this episode of Podigious.
In my notes, it says that is quite obviously a Revolutionary Girl Utena reference, so anyone who says Yoli is 100% straight can eat my socks. Wait, can you see the difference between Red Vegemon and his minions?
So I actually can't see Red Vegemon. Like, when they're on screen, I could just see through the TV.
Kids don't even have to do anything. They just shout Digi-Armor Energize and their Digimon gets some swag. I'm not really invested in this ship, but I'm deeply, deeply invested in Kari not being interested in men.
So you don't care about this ship, but you care about the fleet.
I care about the destruction of the other armada, is what I'm saying.
You're gonna need a password. You can use mine to get on the internet.
Podigious.
Welcome to Podigious, episode 201, Family Knit Picnic.
Adventure 02,
episodes 1 through 6.
First impressions and leadership.
Recorded September 27, 2014.
I'm your host, Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
Yo.
Asher Softman.
Hey.
And Andrew Softman.
Hey.
This episode of Podigious is sponsored by Dark Rings. When you want to give someone the gift of captivity and enslavement, think Dark Rings. Enter offer code RING as you enter the digital world, and the Digimon Emperor will kindly escort you to a coliseum for further processing. Ashley and I are here from the future to record some follow-up on stuff since the last episode and since we recorded this one. First off, we have some announcements about Podigious itself. Obviously, this is a new season of Podigious. And there's not much new to announce along with that that we're not going to describe in the episode. A lot of stuff that we have in the works to change. So there are a couple of changes in this episode and some changes that will be coming soon, eventually.
There are some changes that were unchanging in this episode.
yeah, you'll hear that soon. Anyway, and we have a new host whom you'll meet soon. And yeah, that's about it for announcements.
We didn't replace Asher. Don't be scared.
an extra host.
Yes.
So on to news about Digimon. On November 8th, which was, I guess, about a week after we released the last episode, we got announcement about the rest of the adventure cast silhouettes. Still not actual full artwork, still just silhouettes, which it's kind of sad that feels like a big deal because they're just silhouettes. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. And then once that was revealed, that was the, I guess, the second set of Digi-Egg counter, second Digi-Egg counter. And now there's a third set, which has three Digi-Eggs instead of one. I think the running theory is that it's going to be the Digi-Eggs for the kids from 02, so that the reveal is going to be silhouettes of the rest of the 02 cast. But who knows?
Nobody can see you shrug, except me.
Can't capture shrugs on a podcast. And yeah, I forget the release date exactly, but also Rumble has come out since we released last episode.
And
yeah,
a little bit.
It's not very good. I tried to look up reviews just to give a summary of critical opinions about it, and very few places have even bothered to review it, mostly because it's a last generation game and most major sites and review outlets don't review old last generation games. And yeah, even among those smaller sites, it still has a 50% rating on Metacritic, which is pretty low. So, and yeah, we played it ourselves and it's not that good.
It's mindless fun.
It's, yeah, if you really want a Digimon game, it's a Digimon game.
It's a Digimon game. There's Digivolving.
Yeah. So on to feedback from responses from the last episode. So first piece of feedback comes from John Summers on our comment section, and I'm going to read this section from his comment. My second favorite would be the Dark Masters arc due to the Chosen Children not getting any new evolutions during this time except for Magna Angemon and having to deal with such powerful opponents. And yeah, I think that was a sentiment I had but hadn't really thought about, how it's one of the few arcs where they are given evolutions at the beginning and they have to figure out how to actually use it better throughout, which is kind of rare for Digimon. Usually it's just Digivolve and that's it. So yeah, I mean, I think I really failed in the last episode, which we recorded forever ago, so it's kind of hard to remember, but I pretty much failed in trying to articulate why I like Dark Masters arc better. So this was something I hadn't really thought of that I'm like, yeah, that's why. The next piece of feedback comes from ShawnieMac23, also in our comment section. So in regards to the Myotismon arc, he writes, The Myotismon in Japan arc, while being my favorite and objectively the best arc of the series, is a bit of an odd duck in my opinion. I feel that there is actually just as many bad to mediocre episodes in this arc as there are good ones, but the good ones are so transcendent, by Digimon standards, that they act as a sort of rising tide that lifts all boats. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think this arc kind of gets overrated on the back of this 3-4 episodes, and then people tend to dismiss all other arcs, which probably, aside from Edamon, have as many hits or misses as they do. Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I think they're, especially when we broke the Myotismon arc into, the Myotismon in Japan arc into the two halves, like, nothing happens the first half, and then the second, nothing happens the first 6 episodes, and then the next 5, like, where everything happens, and I feel like those are the ones people really remember. And so it's kind of misrepresenting the arc to say, like, oh, this one was the best one. It's really those couple episodes that people remember. But I also think there's something totally valid in, if that's what people remember, then the arc did a really good job of actually hyping that up and making people remember that. So, yeah, I agree with the sentiment of, like, people are misremembering it, but also, like, the fact that it made them misremember it is also pretty interesting and worthy of praise, I guess. And, yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with the way it built tension and hyped people up was in reveals and not knowing what's going to happen. And at least for me, rewatching it this time, I missed a lot of that. Same thing with the episode with Paimon, where he turns on to keychains. Like, that episode had almost no tension for me now. And I found, I mean, aside, until Magna Angemon's reveal, there was, like, nothing in it of interest to me. Whereas as a kid, it was, like, super tense. And I was like, oh my god, that's probably one of my favorite episodes. But now it's just like, well, I know what's going to happen. Like, so, I mean, it's been much longer for you since you've seen these episodes. So did not remembering that stuff help? Did it make it any more tense?
The Dark Masters arc?
For the Paimon episode and for, like, the Myotismon arc.
Well, I remembered stuff from the Myotismon arc, though. Like, with Wizardmon. Which is, I guess, why. It's like, it made a lasting impression.
Right.
Whereas, I don't really remember the Dark Masters.
Right, but so then were you tense rewatching it? Because you weren't sure what was going to happen? I mean, you know everything that's not well.
Because, yeah.
Like, you would remember it if they all died, or...
Oh, man, that would be so dramatic.
I mean, I don't think it's ever a question of if they're going to die, but you don't really know how they're going to get out of it. But you remember that wasn't some mind-blowing reveal, right? Like, you remember the loose structure. You probably remember there was a Paimon.
No.
No?
No, he was anticlimactic anyway.
I guess so. So, ShawneeMac23 also had this to say. Also, to Jeff's point of disqualifying this arc because Tamers did it better, I think that's a weak argument because you can pick anything from the season. Well, maybe not painful jokes, and rightfully say Tamers did it better. And, yeah. Especially since I edited the last episode months after we recorded it, I had the pleasure of listening to myself and cringing and being like, this guy is not making a very convincing argument. Why does he keep talking about this?
Jeff often feels this way after editing the episodes. Yeah.
I'm like, why can't I just insert, like, my current view and correct myself in the past? But yeah, so I think I said something along the lines of, like, well, Adventure in Japan isn't that good because, like, it's the seed of 02, and so that's not good, and they do it better in Tamers, so, like, I don't know why it's... it was totally bogus. I mean, I think the heart of what I was trying to say was that there are moments in Adventure when they go to Japan that we consider to be the best. And it's like kind of, so I think the things I wrote down that I really appreciate about it, like time with family, cool fight scenes, real world responsibilities. And it's all that stuff that they try to then again do in Adventure 02, but fail. Like, I mean, time with family, they totally just don't even try, I guess. And like, right. So they try to do those things and fail. And then whereas in Tamers, it's like, well, they just do all those better. And the parts of those in Adventure itself, not 02, where they do it, it's like little brief moments. So that's why I don't appreciate the Japan arc that much. But yeah, I mean, comparing it to Tamers and then saying, well, it's not good because Tamers exists is silly. Especially saying it's not good because this is similar to Adventure 02 is ridiculous. ShawneeMac23 also wrote, all my reasons for liking TK are partially why 02 frustrates me so much, because he gets literally zero development and very little to do when, by any objective of sound reasoning, he should have easily been the main character and the leader. Most experienced, hella strong Digimon, very intelligent, self-assured, not obsessed with Kari, had the respect of the rest of the group. Instead, he gets 2 great moments, not going to read them because spoilers, and absolutely nothing else. Even his Myotismon hallucination doesn't tell us anything we don't already know. No duh, he wants his family back together. Tai giving his goggles to Davis and somehow having authority to name him leader of the new group was 02's first step into a terrible abyss that it ended up being. Yeah.
Yeah, Tai. Way to fail.
I forget if we actually talked.
I don't think
we didn't talk in this episode, but maybe in the next episode, did we talk about whether TK should be the leader instead of Ty?
I don't remember this being a conversation.
Well, we should talk about it, because, yeah, I mean, there's no reason why Davis should be the leader instead of TK.
Davis.
Davis.
Davis and Ty.
Yeah, it's... it would have been so cool to have Matt's younger brother grow up to then be the second generation leader, and I guess they went to have introduce a new character to be the leader, but it's also just frustrating because, like, Ty clearly just saw himself in Davis and respected that instead of someone who was different but strong for other reasons, and whatever, it's just...
Send us your fan fiction, people!
Yeah, I agree that this is one of the first signs that 02 is just headed completely in the wrong direction. I wouldn't say it's the first, because, I mean, it opens...
The very first episode.
the first episode opens with terrible plot holes and things are never explained. So
that's true. That first episode is just all a mess.
I don't think it's the very
We're
first.
We're getting part. There.
So the next comment comes from Craig in our comment section, and I just wanted to call it up because he asked what episodes we'll be covering next time. And so, yeah, this season we're going to make a concerted focus to describe what episodes at the beginning of the show that we're covering in this episode, but also to, at the end of the episode, describe what episodes we're going to cover in the next episode. So that should be pretty clear. I think for this one we're covering episodes 1 through 6, and then the next one 7 through 12. But yeah, that'll all be spelled out in the episode itself.
And Doc Ocean!
Spoilers. Okay, so yeah, the next thing I want to talk about was this. After the episode, last episode aired, where we talked about our favorite things and asked people what their favorite things were, I made some graphics basically putting together what our favorite things were and then put them out on social media to kind of spark people talking about their favorite things were. And I aggregated all those responses together, collected the data, and wanted to talk about the results of that. So some observations were that we got the most replies to the question about favorite characters, which I guess is unsurprising. I guess it's what people relate to most strongly. But so even though we got most responses to that one, there were a lot of people on Reddit in particular who responded to the Digimon, who your favorite partner Digimon was, with just like, look at my username. Like, a lot of people just had it as their username, you know, like,
wow,
Agumon is the best or something like that. I mean, that's not actually someone's username, but things like that.
Agumon.
So I thought it was weird that it's like, people relate to characters clearly, and we especially did, especially like in our disappointments and surprises, they were mostly characters.
I think they were all characters.
Surprise was Tokyo. But anyway. That wasn't a sentiment expressed by the people. I don't think anyone else used similar surprises and disappointments. They were all like concepts. But I wanted to run down what the favorites were of everything. So the favorite arc, the one with the most votes, was Myotismon. So Ashley and Asher get a point for that. Favorite episode? That was a really hard question because we didn't get that many respondents, and everyone voted for different things. So there were like, I think like 14 different things that were nominated, and the one with the most votes, there were four. The tie with the most votes was just 2 votes. So mine, Home Away From Home, was in one of those, and none of the ones that Ashley and Ash picked were voted on. So
you guys are wrong. Here's when you know that.
Favorite characters got, as I was talking about before, the most people voting, and the winner was TK, which kind of surprised me. I thought that was kind of a rare opinion to have, but I guess not. And then second place was Ty and Izzy, tied for second, because Ty...
That's not shocking.
And then favorite partners, the number one by a lot, which is super weird, for me at least, surprised me, was Goemon.
I'm disagreeing with this audience. You're wrong.
And then I think number two tied for second place were Gabumon and Patamon. But
okay, now you're right. Gabumon.
But yeah, I mean, Goemon had a bunch more, almost twice as many as anyone else, which is super weird. And favorite designs, not many people voted on this because, again, the pool was any Digimon possible and not many overlaps. I mean, there was only overlap on Magna Angemon and Mega Copyterimon, which were not ones I expected, but Magna Angemon's pretty cool. They both tied for first place with 2 votes, so... and favorite villains, the tie for first place was actually Machine Jamon and Metal Seedramon. So I guess you get a point for Metal Seedramon. I am misreading this graph. Only one person voted for Metal Seedramon, so Ashley, you lose. Myotismon and Machine Jamon tied first place. That makes a lot more sense.
Machine Jamon?
Okay, yeah, Machine Jamon doesn't make sense. Machine Jamon doesn't make sense, but Myotismon makes more sense than Metal Seedramon.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, I'll agree, Jamon, but disagree.
Machine Jamon's pretty weird because the first comment on Reddit that said Machine Jamon was like, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this crazy thing. And then, like, a bunch of other people also said Machine German, so it surprised me, but I guess people like him. I don't think we really talked about him at all, really. I think people really liked that he didn't talk much and was, like, I think inferred a lot of backstory and stuff.
He had a weird voice. He was cool.
A weird voice, but barely talked.
It's fine.
So then, favorite Mimi moments. No one really... Everyone has different concepts of what a Mimi moment is.
We just made it up.
I mean, I wanted to read, like, some nominations because they're all kind of strange. One of them was the comment when someone says, like, Roger to Ty or something, and then Mimi's like, I think he forgot his name. And another nomination, the one that won with two votes, was her bringing the army at the end, which I think we brought up, but we didn't actually say it as our votes. Words. And then when she pulls out her camping supplies, was also nominated. When she says goodbye to Palmon, when she helps Ogremon, and when she has a bunch of Newmon lovers in the Togemon and Toy Town episode. Biggest disappointments, the winner, this is, a lot of these were categories that didn't really have clear defined answers. But yeah, so this one, the winner was the fact that there are only two Megas revealed. A lot of people, I think, expected their, everyone to get Megas, which, when I think back.
Cool.
It would have been really hard to fit that in. I mean, they're already crammed. But yeah, I mean, I definitely remember as a kid, I remember when Zudamon is fighting Metal Seijumon, like Zunamon is in the water and de-digivolves back to Gomamon. And I was like, oh, he's going to digivolve back to Gomamon and then warp digivolve because that's how this works. I was like so convinced between those two episodes and then nothing ever came of it. So I guess as a kid, I did expect that, but that's so far removed from my brain now. Like I forgot that was even a thing I expected. And biggest surprises, no one had any overlap. Everyone had different ideas. And some of these are disappointments, but more like, I'm surprised it was so bad at this. Like, how they reused Hey Digimon over and over.
Whoa, that song is awesome, haters.
They use it every time an Ultimate appears. It's really annoying. Hey Digimon. Anyway, people surprised that they, one person was surprised they didn't like it when they rewatched it, which I can't really blame them because it's, I don't think
no,
it's the
best.
No,
that's not surprising.
One person was surprised at how long the series felt, which I don't know if that's a testament to the series or that it was bad. and surprised there were so many sacrifices, which, yeah, I mean, there are, like, especially Dark Master's Arc, it's like one after another. Surprised by the direct references to terrorism, which, yeah, I mean, especially if you grew up with, I think we were kind of on the end of our cartoon era with Digimon. Like, I think that Digimon was one of, like, the last big cartoons we really watched. So, 9/11 happened2 years after this aired. So we were kind of on the way out by then, but especially people grew up with cartoons after Digimon, the idea of people, like, direct references to terrorism in American cartoons would probably be pretty bizarre. And Wizardmon's death, I guess, like, be surprising if you don't remember that. That's, like, such a vivid memory to me.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it's just a testament that you haven't seen it in, like, 13 years. And you still thought it was, you still remembered it.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, I mean, a couple other standouts from, and I guess honorable mentions. So ShawneeMac23 on Twitter, when we asked for villains, voted for Team Rocket, which...
Wrong!
and top participants, so like people who voted the most times and all, like responded to most of these, Lenti Soup, not sure how to pronounce that, I assume like that, on Twitter, and Alvis D. Bridges on Reddit, and Craig in the comment section. We didn't really call out these questions specifically in the comment section, but people who answered these questions in their responses I pulled in. And so there were two comments I want to read in particular from the thread on Reddit about favorite characters that I thought were really cool.
Boy.
So this is from Diabet on Reddit, and his answer is Kari and Tai's mother. So I'm going to read it. Kari and Tai's mother. Seriously, let's do this in an arbitrary order. She goes out and lets Tai make breakfast and look after Kari seemingly frequently as she goes out. That's trust in her son. She believes in him and helped make him the leader and her the damsel in distress that they were destined to be. She's laid back when she needs to be. When Agumon jumps out the window, she asks if they broke a lamp. She's not mad. Kids will be kids. She understands. We also learn in the same movie that she has taught Kari well. She knows to only take one can of fizzy drink and that the buses are always late. Both vital bits of knowledge. In a more serious view, she obviously does care for her kids. Her reaction to Tai nearly killing Kari is not something one does when one is not in total fear for one's child. The same goes for the near panic in her voice when Tai talks on the phone during his brief trip home. She's a good parent. She's also a good host. Izzy comes over, so she bakes a cake. She can't cook. She knows she can't, but she tries so that Ty can live like a normal kid. She even lets slip she doesn't know you need flour for cake. Typical noob error. And gives Izzy food poisoning. The point is that she tries despite her lack of talent. My final point is how she stands with the other parents when the kids are in the digital world. All those parents deserve props. They have to watch their kids float up into the sky to a place they know is filled with monsters. I wouldn't be able to do that. They have to watch and wait for God only knows how long while the most valuable thing in the world to them are in mortal danger. Kari and Ty's mom, best mom.
Mom. You're saying it wrong.
I'm making this more American than it is. this whole comment was great. And there was at least one person who took it very literally and pointed out all the flaws. And I'll link to that comment here as well from Super Saiyan Dragons.
Oh, my. Wait. We're not reading this.
I'm not going to read this one. No, I'm saying, like, but you can check out this teardown of.
It only has one point.
Well, because it was a joke and this person took it very literally and was like, here are the reasons why it's wrong. And like, So the other one I want to read, which I thought not funny, but really cool, was from
Deep Cool,
KaiKit32. And I think they initially said their favorite was Sora, but they wouldn't say it. They were like, well, I'm not going to bore anyone with my story of why. And then someone was like, no, tell us. And so here it goes. I'm going to read their comment. I assume it's a she. All right, gather around the campfire, kids. So I first have to admit, I got into Digimon Adventure a while after I'd been on the air. I had just moved to a new state and had to start fresh. Luckily, I had a cousin who already lived there, and she introduced me to a girl at my school who, like me, loved anime. This girl took me into her circle of friends and introduced me to their tradition of assigning everyone a character from an anime. Having never watched Digimon, I was assigned Sora. Curious about this anime that my friend so loved, I asked to watch it. She had tapes, so we took the next few days after school to watch them. We slowly began developing our mutual fangirl friendship and writing stories of us in the digital world. She became my best friend, and to this day, I don't believe that could have happened without Digimon to bond us. We lost touch for a while after high school, but a few years ago, we reconnected and went to a convention as Sora and Mimi. In 4 months, I'll be the maid of honor at a wedding. That's not what I expected at the end. I was like, oh, we lost touch, but like we still talk occasionally. No, maid of honor at a wedding. I'm like, whoa. Surprise twist.
Digimon.
That's the lesson of the story. Just like Digimon, you make
like
friends.
Like Digimon, you make friends.
So that was a really cool story. Glad we could facilitate that.
The end. Episode time. People probably be like, who's this Andrew person? So.
Yeah, let's introduce.
Yeah.
Andrew, you should introduce yourself.
Yeah, we don't know you.
I can only read things off of scripts, so.
Yes. Hi, I'm Andrew. I'm Ash's brother. My favorite Digimon is Tiger Vespamon, and I guess my favorite season is between seasons 1 and 5.
What does that mean?
It's 2.5, then.
Yeah. What?
Actually, no, that's 3, sorry.
No.
Yeah, 1 plus 5 divided by 2 is 3. So, thanks.
No, between 1 and 5 season.
Oh, I get it. Ha, I'm so slow.
Wait, Ashley, I thought you were kidding.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I was like, I don't get this.
Also, people know me as the Phantom Cellist F.
Why?
I never thought about that F.
Fencer.
That doesn't explain
like
it.
10 years.
You used to fence? Whoa.
Yeah, saber fencing.
I wish I could have fenced.
It's painful. Then again, you played hockey, never mind.
Yeah.
Andrew has a lot more knowledge about Digimon than we do.
Yeah.
Not really.
About things more than just the anime itself. Yeah, I mean, we're back to cover season 2. As we were planning, I think I expected that there would be more of a break between season 1 and season 2, but it took longer to edit season 1 stuff, so.
But we have not actually recorded together for like 3.5 months, so.
Yeah.
It feels long to us, I don't know.
And we're trying some new things with this season, mixing up the formula a little bit to, I don't know, make the show better, and also, yeah, other things down the road, possibly, so.
We have secret things that we can't tell you yet.
Yeah.
Secrets.
Top secret.
It is.
What is?
Think, yes.
We can't tell you.
What are we talking about?
The secret.
What secret?
Talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, I was kidding. I was doing the whole like. You didn't hear that. Hear what thing?
Oh.
Whatever.
what now?
Exactly.
Nothing happened. You heard nothing.
Yeah, so in the 3.5 months since we recorded, there has been all this new... There was the, on August 1st, the announcement of a new series of Digimon. So the Digimon community is a lot more lively than when we last recorded. I think it'd be worthwhile to talk about that a little bit now. What were you saying, Andrew? That you don't think it's a season?
No, I don't think it's a season. I think it's more of a, like, OVA-type deal.
Yeah, I mean, the language it's been used is only series, and, like, I don't see anything that indicates that series means 50 episodes. It could just, like, that seems like a 3-episode OVA series would also be classified as a series.
Yeah, but people automatically assume that it's going to be a TV series that's going to air on TV.
Yeah.
I don't assume this.
It would be really disappointing if there's all this hype about it being a whole new TV season, then it's, like, a couple OVA episodes.
Really? I'll just be like, I told you so.
Well, hopefully they don't retcon this season.
That would be really weird.
Yeah, apparently season 2 doesn't exist, according to some people.
It's Asher's favorite.
Is it?
What?
Yeah,
people don't like season 2?
Yes. He amended his favorite thing to be season 2 in the end of the last episode.
Yeah.
I don't remember because I haven't edited that yet.
I remember because I'm like... Oh, goodness, the beginning of this season is... Oh, this is Ash's favorite season?
This is my favorite season. It is.
It's my most nostalgic season.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I like it, too.
I'm afraid with the new season, if it's not actually a season, that...
The new series.
Yeah, the new series will... If people are disappointed by it, it'll... Like, it's hyping up the Digimon community and, like, bringing people back in and causing all this excitement. If people are disappointed, which... They inevitably are going to be disappointed in some respect, but if they're completely disappointed because it's not even a season, it'll, like, squeeze whatever life was in Digimon out.
I don't think that's how it works, because the attention it brings in the first place is what will keep it going. If it's a disappointment and then the next thing is a disappointment, then it's dead.
True. Yeah, I guess it could be, like, a 3-episode OVA series or something, that and they're done with that and they start a new season, and, like, that season is better, it, like, gets more attention because of the hype.
Yeah.
Also, do you really feel that, like, if the 3 OAVs are, like, super amazing, and you think just the fact that it would be not 50 episodes would make people so mad that they wouldn't even care that it was amazing?
No, like, I would love just...
I
would prefer that at this point.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I don't know what they're... It seems weird to have a whole season worth of material between the end of 0-2 and the 0-2 epilogue, if they're keeping it all canon. Yeah, that would make more sense. I think it'll just be... Like, it's not like it's going to come out, and at the same time it comes out, it's going to be announced that it's an OVA instead of a series, or instead of a season, if that happens. If that happens, it's going to be announced far in advance, right?
Yeah, what happens when there is a new season, they usually have, like, all this promotional artwork, like, and you would know that it's a new TV series.
Yeah, so, I mean, if it's true that it's not a full season, we'll know that before it actually comes out. So I think that'll be enough time to, like, ground people's... Right now, I think everyone's, like, hyped up but without that much information at all, and it's a weird bubble that's gonna pop eventually.
Also, Fusion Season 1 is on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
For those who are interested.
Meh.
Yeah. I guess not.
Yeah, I mean,
as long as it stays there from when we get there, like, 5 years from now.
That is what worries me about Netflix, that it's not a long-term... You can never count on it being there long-term.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's Saban. Saban Brands. So they really take care of their products.
We pick up a few years after the end of Adventure, apparently in 2002.
In Episode 1, Enter Flamedramon, we meet 3 new protagonists in the Digimon Emperor, who has created Black Years 2.0 while listening to a lot of Beyonce. Agumon can't Digivolve, so Tai passes his goggles down to Kari's stalker, who saves the day by yelling, "Digi Armor Energize!" at a tiny blue dragon.
So, it was weird how the Digimon Emperor was introduced in this episode as the evil Digimon Emperor. Like, was it not clear from what he was doing that he was evil? I guess it's a nitpick, but it's like, the audience isn't stupid. Like, if you show him whipping people, you don't need to say evil.
They show him whipping people a lot.
Actually, after they say the line, they actually scream loudly. And it's actually pretty funny.
It's like, the evil Digimon Emperor, ah! Like that?
Yeah, kind of like that. And then Unimon is just, like, flying. He's not even running away. And then he's like, lol, I'm just chilling. And oh my god, what the hell?
The whole, every time they show people running, or Digimon running away from the Digimon Emperor is always ridiculous. It was in this episode too, Unimon, or Gatomon gets cornered by Unimon and gets, what, it loses her ring. But it's like, why can Gatomon not fight back up against Unimon?
They're both champion.
Yeah, they're both champion. Like, Gatomon was cool enough to, like, take down Ultimates in season one.
By herself.
And now she's like, oh no!
And then she lost her ring, and now she's even more, oh no!
In my mind, looking back on this season, like, without having watched it recently, I always thought of Gatomon season two as being a different character from season one. That, like, she is much more, just, in addition to not being powerful as much as season one, she just acts totally less cool in the season. I don't think that's entirely fair.
She's not even that cool as soon as she joins Kari in season one.
Right. That's, yeah, I was gonna say that. Like, yeah. As soon as she changes sides, she basically loses her coolness.
Yeah.
She just makes a lot of cat jokes.
Yep.
Yeah. It was weird how TK moved to Odaiba in the season. Like, he was the one, I think he was the only one in season one. Yeah, who lived elsewhere. And then they were like, oh, well, he needs to be with all the other characters, so let's move to Odaiba. But it's also weird because then Ken doesn't live in Odaiba.
Well, there are a lot of parallels between TK and Ken, which we'll get into later when things happen.
When we actually know about Ken.
Yeah. But also, like, it kind of makes sense. His mom's a journalist. She likely moves a lot.
I guess. I kind of didn't remember what his mom did.
Yeah, his parents are both journalists.
Wasn't she writing about toilet paper or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a very important plot point.
Yeah. Is it just me, or did it feel like they tried harder to give the three new rookie Digimon, like, accents?
Oh, they totally did.
Oh, yeah.
In the first season.
I don't think Vemon really, though.
Vemon has, like, a weird lisp thing.
Well, that's just Derek Stephen Prince.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to sound like the Emperor anyway.
Yeah.
But definitely Armadillomon and Hawkmon are, like, their accents. Like, Hawkmon is a weird British accent, and Armadillomon is, a U.S. Western accent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's not first episode.
I'm sorry.
It's weird that TK, apparently it's just going to be saying things are weird, but TK is in the 7th grade in the dub, but in the Japanese, Tai is only in 8th grade. Like, it's weird that they're, like, about the same age in the two different versions, but
they're only 2 years apart.
It's only 2 years?
Because Tai was 10.
Age
is very messed up, especially.
Yeah, there's actually a line later on in this episode where Tai is, like, talking to Mr. Fujiyama about being, like, he's having trouble adjusting to high school when he's clearly in middle school.
Yeah.
Joe's the only one in high school at this point.
Well,
they're like, Joe's studying for his doctor stuff. And I was that doesn't happen in high school.
Yeah, that's super weird, but.
The dub's weird.
Okay, so actually, Tai is, in the Japanese, Tai is 14. And he's apparently in 8th grade in the Japanese. And so that's not high school. That's the middle year of middle school. But Joe, we're talking about Joe. Joe is also not in high school. Joe is in the
Joe upper, would be studying for his entrance exams into high school.
Right.
Yeah.
He's in
Japanese
9th grade.
High school is only 3 years.
Right, so he's in 9th grade in the Japanese. And in Japan, high school is 10, 11, 12. And middle school is 9, 8, and 7, I assume?
I don't know.
It's kind of, I've always found it weird learning Japanese, how the terms for, like, middle and high school corresponded so well to Japanese. Like, the words are actually, like, short school, middle school, and high and tall school.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, in most languages, tall and high are actually the same word.
Oh, wait, I think I remember hearing that it's because of U.S.'s influence. After World War II, actually.
Might have been. Makes sense.
Yeah. The different age differences and the dub changing them, and then, like, how that affects what grade they're in and the difference between U.S. high school and Japanese high school, it's all very confusing. But definitely the dub says that Tai is in high school, which makes it very confusing for the new season, which is all about Tai Chi's in high school. And U.S. people are like, yeah?
Maybe they'll put him in college. I don't know.
Oh, that'd be weird.
That would be very weird.
We'll see if this even gets over here.
Oh, yeah. If it's,
it'll get over here.
If it's just an OVA, I don't know.
I mean, it will, but actually, we still haven't gotten X Evolution, so whatever. Who knows?
Okay, but that's not Tai.
I know,
this
but
is Tai.
We haven't gotten every Digimon thing ever here.
Yeah, but everything we're going to get Tai. We're going to get Tai.
But that's going to be weird since his voice changes.
So?
Well, he's older. That makes sense.
Not really.
Well, whatever.
It cracked.
We get Davis being awarded for arrogance just like Tai was in season one.
I hate Davis.
Although, the thing I noticed in episode one is that nothing at all sets Davis up as the leader or the main character. We start with Gatomon, we move to TK, Tai is still the leader. It's something I'll keep bringing up, but...
No, I think that goggle passing off scene is very symbolic of, like, you're the new leader.
It's not
that it's symbolic, it's like, literally, Tai is saying, you are the new leader, here is the symbol. Like, it's not...
Yeah,
it's like,
except he's not.
It's hitting viewers over the head with symbolism. It's, yeah, I don't think they care about symbolism.
Maybe it's the courage. The crest of courage.
Yeah, but I think it's silly to say that whoever has a crest of courage is a leader.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what they're hinting.
It's the same problem from season one of, like, we all know Tai is going to be the leader. He's not for the first, like, 15 episodes, but then he is, so...
Well, Tai is better at being a leader in the first 15 episodes of season one than Davis ever is.
Yeah.
Which is really sad because it's a low bar.
But Tai is a great leader in this season, even though he's not supposed to be.
But yeah, if Tai for some reason just passes his goggles on and is like, you're the leader, which is why?
Which is funny, because he's not. Like, no matter how that scene tries to set him up as the leader, he doesn't lead his way out of a paper bag.
Yeah. I guess it's just Tai saw the crest of courage and was like, well, you're me, so...
Right. Except
he also wore goggles while playing soccer. Like, that makes any sense.
I figured that was totally him trying to look up to Tai.
I know, but you have to head the ball. Why are either of them wearing goggles while playing soccer? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it would make sense to actually wear them on your eyes if you needed glasses. And
but yeah, neither but of them do.
Don't. Yeah.
The new Digimon this season, well, particularly Vimon, are weird because they're not, like, in the world before the Digimon come along, or before the characters come along. They, like, get birthed out of the egg, weirdly. And they say that, like, I forget who it is that's describing Vimon, but they say that he's, like, a Digimon they only thought was a legend.
It's complicated. It has to do with the video games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they explain it. Like, you know the ones with Ryo?
Yeah, the Wonders One games.
The one with Ken actually takes place right before season two.
And it involves the Vimon and people?
Yes.
Oh.
It's complicated.
Huh. I've been meaning to read up on the summaries of what happened in those games. I didn't think that Vimon and Armadillomon and Hawkmon were involved at all.
They were. I think they're even on the cover.
Interesting. But it raised a weird question to me of, like, the way they describe Digimon has always kind of bothered me in a way that I couldn't articulate. And I think it's because they're always so vague about whether they're talking about, like, this Digimon or basically this particular character or the species. And in comparison to Pokemon, Pokemon's very clear about that. And Digimon's just like... whenever they say info about Digimon, it's never clear if they're talking about this thing all Digimon of this type do, or just this one. And they're not even clear if, like, is there more than one of this type?
We're not saying type as in virus. You're saying, like, Armadillomon. There should be other Armadillomon.
You mean species.
Yeah, species. It's just, it's always bothered me.
That's always really confused me.
I kind of like the confusion, though.
Really?
Why? Yeah.
What is there like about it?
It leaves a lot of room to play around creatively.
But it seems to me more that they're just not being clear. Not that they're, like, unshackled, just that...
It seems like they didn't think it through at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't. But I enjoy it, personally.
It's kind of mixed up in this... Like, if you read profiles on a Digimon wiki page, and it's like, here's all this information about the Digimon, and it's like, I get, like, they come from, like, the card game and different character profiles in the Japanese. I don't know where they come from, actually. Like, the Digimon wiki pages have lots of information from other resources that aren't the games and aren't the show and aren't card games.
Are you sure they're not from the card games?
They should be. There is the Digimon Crusade game. Which is actually I believe a iOS Android game. Actually, I'm not sure. What is it? But it's like a sort of card game.
So the reference I'm particularly talking about, so I went on the Vimon's page and clicked through to the source information, and it's on Digimon.net, and it's called Digimon Dictionary. It's like this profile page. It looks like it's from a game.
And it's probably from a game.
It's called Digimon Reference Book. But it's just weird because they have all these, this, like, canonical reading on With the Will. It seems like this is called the Null Canon, stuff that's not actually in the, like, the show or the games, but is otherwise canonical. I'm mostly just bringing this up because, like, Vimon is particularly weird. It's the first Digimon we've met who's, like, we don't know anything about their existence before this, but I guess in the Wonders Wrong game, we would know more. The first episode was weird how much, I thought Cam was actually interestingly foreshadowed in this episode. You know, like they show the Digimon Emperor has a Digivice, has a partner, and doesn't appear at night, and they don't say anything else. I mean, that's totally undermined because like in two episodes, they say they're like extremely clear about who it is. But this episode on its own was really cool for that. And we meet Vimon, Flangemon, and Wormon. Wormon's pretty lame.
Wow.
Flangemon's pretty cool. You like Wormon?
Yes.
I like his character. I don't like his, what he looks like or anything else about him.
Okay. I can understand that. But like, okay. Flangemon's not cool.
Oh. No. Oh, come on.
No.
No comment.
What? Flangemon's not cool?
No, he's not.
Well, that's just factually incorrect. What about Vimon?
I'm okay with
Vimon's not cool. No.
He's not cool, but like, I'm okay with him. Like, Flamedramon is, like, meant to be cool, and I'm just like, eh.
I like Vimon more than Davis.
Okay, yeah.
Because like, at this point.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
I mean, like, Vimon is, like, Davis as a Digimon, but better.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess he has all the good attributes of Davis and none of the bad.
I mean, you could say that about a lot of the Digimon.
I don't agree. I don't think any of the female Digimon have more desirable attributes than their female human partners.
Okay, I agree with that too.
Well, technically, only two of the three in the first season were female-ish.
They're Digimon?
Are you saying Biomon's not female?
Yeah, what are you trying to say? There were definitely three.
Biomon's technically male.
Cite your sources.
Cite sources?
Yeah, where are you pulling this from?
I vaguely remember Biomon being a boy in the Japanese.
Maybe?
Biomon's definitely a boy in Savers. Maybe that's what you're thinking
of? No, I'm not talking about that. Well, that Biomon too, but...
That Biomon's huge too.
The other thing is, Biomon is a bird, not a mammal. So when Biomon digivolves, there's no, you know, secondary sex characteristics to point to whether or not Biomon is supposed to be male or female. I would point out that Yokomon is a flower. And flowers are, you know, in the two cultures we're talking about, kind of female.
Whatever.
How does
okay.
she digivolve? How does he or she digivolve from a flower to a bird anyway?
Are you really questioning this?
It took me a while to catch on to it.
In Digimon, you're really questioning that.
Yeah. It feels kind of like they switched. Like, what is, I was going to say, what is Palmon's in training form?
A Tanimon, also okay. A plant.
Okay, that's pretty plant-like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we talk about how, like, Davis is, like, new to everything? Like,
because Davis sucks. And nobody wants to talk about him.
I mean, I want to talk about him, but, like, not
No, but it was, like, a new isolation. Introduction to the digital world.
I was going to say it's weird that these characters are all characters that I don't think they've mentioned. They haven't mentioned yet, definitely, but they all have seen the digital world in some form. I think either during the Myotismon fight or during our war game. And they're all just like, what's this digital world thing?
Well, except for they never Davis. Heard the words before.
Okay, right. So they didn't know that it was called the digital world, but when they get there, they should be like, oh, this thing.
Also, Cody was like 4. In episode 2, the Digi-Team complete, the Digimon Avengers assemble, but eventually realize they need Digi-Destined 2.0 to beat Black Gears 2.0. Yolee finds a British Native American bird, Cody finds a drill that will pierce the heavens, and they save Davis from crucifixion because the last thing he needs is to think he's Jesus. Which is true.
Yes, this is true. So the fact that Yolee is really excited to go into the digital world in this episode and Cody is the one who isn't excited, am I reading too much into that? But I thought it was like a reversal of typical gender roles that usually it's like the guy who wants to do something and the girl who's like the more rational, like, no, let's be calm.
Yolee seems pretty cool, but they keep trying to shove her into the girly role.
I mean,
girly
yeah.
Girly roles, actually.
There is, yeah. I mean, I think that's less a reflection of... I think the scene itself is less a reversal of gender roles, and Yolee herself is more of a reversal, except not completely. And Cody, I would hesitate to say that about Cody, because his deal is both that he is very young and very rational.
Yeah, he's definitely seemed like the oldest... what's the word I'm looking for? Like, emotionally?
Most mature?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, on the surface, maybe, yes, I would disagree with it in total.
Yeah. Certainly some things that are, like, pretty, like, yeah. Not well thought out.
One thing I'm personally gonna be tracking a lot during this, watch through is Cody and how he reflects a lot of traditional Japanese values. He's got a lot of Buddhist stuff going on, which Joe did too, but I feel it more in Cody. And there are other, because season two takes place for the most part in the real world, there's a lot more of the cultural stuff going on visibly, which I really like. And I'll talk about it more later, especially during, what arc is that? The Digimon, the, what is it called in English?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Which one?
When the DNA, excuse me.
The Black Greymon, Black Gore Greymon arc?
Well, that too. That whole time period. Like,
the stones?
The DNA digivolving and the stones and everything that happens there, like... I want to talk about... Oh, and with Ken, too. I want to talk a lot
about...
Well,
I guess the Destiny Stone arc?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Ken has a lot of the Japanese culture thing going on, too. You could make a point for Yoli, too, in some ways. Although, I see it most in Ken and Cody. So, that's my take on the whole what is Cody thing.
What is Cody?
He's actually fascinating, like... Because I didn't pay attention to him when I was a kid, there's so much more for me to delve into now.
Hmm. Yeah, I think in terms of the main cast that we have now, I think he's definitely the most interesting. And I would like to like Yoli more, but...
I like Yoli.
I think she has the most potential now, like early on.
Yes, later she does. She does. And then they... Well, you know.
It's the kids, the older generation, we get them doing their little conference... And I'm still confused by age they're supposed to, because like they're all wearing like button down shirts and ties and stuff. At least the guys are. And that's something I associate with high school in Japan, and they're all in middle school. So
I don't know, but I would like to point out that Sora was not wearing hairpins. Throwing that out there.
For the record.
For the record.
We'll write that in the file.
Yeah. It's the only thing I cared about in this episode.
Really?
Yeah. Also, the line that you quoted as being in the first episode about Ty adjusting to high school is in this one.
It is. I just noticed it in my notes.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I thought that was weird because,
Because Ty was in the digital world the whole time.
Yeah, because Ty was trying to lure Mr. Fujiyama away.
Oh, that
doesn't happen until this episode.
Yeah.
Why? Let's get back to the important topic of clothes. Why do the kids, it's only the three new ones have new outfits in the digital world?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Tegan and Kairi.
Question.
Okay, it also
includes Ken.
Does Ken like jump into the digital world and win that outfit? Because that's amazing.
No, he doesn't. I'm pretty sure, because when he comes out from the digital world, he's wearing his usual uniform.
But the point is that they change clothes when they go in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're agreeing. Anyway, like, not saying, like, why does it happen? Because, like, whatever, it's just digital world's data, whatever. I'm saying, why did they do it? Like, I don't understand the choice.
I don't understand the choice either.
I don't either.
They also, the differences are, I feel like they're supposed to be a big deal, and I barely notice the difference. Am I weird?
Yes.
Well, I think at this point, like, I've seen season two so many times, I don't register it anymore.
Wait, I don't actually know what Cody's, does Cody's change?
Yes.
See, this thing, we don't even know if they change, because, like...
No, I know that Yoli and Davis change.
Cody's usually in the real world wearing a purple turtleneck thing.
We'll have images of both outfits in the show notes. It's weird because we get introduced to these characters and then like almost immediately get a new outfit for them. As opposed to like season one, it was like you had these characters in the same outfit for 50 episodes, and then in a war game, it's like a different outfit, and it's like, whoa, Kari's wearing like a different kind of dress. Whoa. And
whoa, Ty has long sleeves.
Did he really?
Yeah. Underneath the
shirt. Wearing a t-shirt, yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's a fair comparison because it's a different art style too, and the different art style is
pretty noticeable.
But yeah, it's like you get introduced to these characters, and then an episode later they have a different outfit, and it's like.
Oh, well, actually, they change clothes a lot in season two.
Wait, that's what I'm thinking. Like, later on, when they get to like the world tour and it's like Christmas and stuff.
No, even before that.
Really?
There are episodes where they're just like hanging out and they wear different outfits.
Hmm.
It's even on the back cover of the DVD set.
Okay, well, none of us see them.
I have it.
No, we do have it.
Oh.
It's by Ashley.
I don't have it.
On the back back cover, they're wearing the summer
clothes.
Because
Andrew has it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. They have much more dynamic clothing this season.
Because they're in the real world. They have access to their closets.
I would not be surprised if Digimon did not care about that and just saved budget by not doing it. So,
Going back to this clothes thing real fast, I think... I think the D3s also do maybe change TK and Kari's clothes, but to their default outfits that they're already wearing. Because what happens when they're wearing something else and they go to the digital world? I don't remember.
When does it happen?
It definitely happens at some point. Like, it must happen during the later half of the season because it's cold.
I guess I'll keep an eye out for it.
Well, yeah, we'll have to look out for that.
Oh my god. I never thought about this.
Because it's not important.
So much clothing.
I know, but still.
Digimon is the Kill la Kill. This episode, this season is the Kill la Kill of Digimon.
No.
No.
I'm pretty sure that's season 3.
There is no Kill la Kill of Digimon.
that could be a good teaser in the beginning of the episode.
There's no Kill la Kill of
God.
No, there is a Kill la Kill of Digimon.
What?
Season 4.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What are you basing that on?
You're saying yes and no.
Sentient armor.
See, this is what happens when you include brothers on a podcast.
I said no with you. No.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, let's move on.
Ashley supports me.
So,
wait, so why do you have to scream Digi Armor Energize to make your Digimon Digivolve in this season?
Also, not only do you have to scream it, but it's like you can just do it whenever you like. It's just like on command, right? Like there's no other thing necessary. There's no danger.
Because they're not really Digivolving. They're just putting armor on.
Putting armor on, completely changing shape and going.
Not completely. Yeah.
Not really.
They're getting a little bigger.
A little?
But like you can still okay. Compared to regular Digivolution.
Armadillomon turns into a submarine later on.
You are making up some BS right now.
But it still looks like Armadillomon.
It does still look like Armadillomon.
It's true. They all do look more... Like, that's always true. They always look like they're...
The like, only time they really change is when it's...
Patamon looks like a Pegasus?
Yeah, but he's still got his little bat ears.
Yeah.
No, when other Digimon armor Digivolve with different eggs, that's when they change. Completely.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I was going to have this in the show notes anyway. There's a matrix of all the different Digimon and all the different eggs. And I'm actually not sure where, like, what canon this comes from. Because they definitely never explore these in the show.
Actually, they explored in a radio CD.
Huh. And I guess they refer to the names, and the names had artwork already.
Yeah, but they accidentally used the wrong eggs. And I think one of them became Mambomon or something, which is like a fish.
And I think even most of these are, you can still see, if you look at the chart, you can still see that, like, most of these forms, they look like the armor. Like, the Digimon looks like the egg that it came from, at least in terms of color scheme. And
yeah.
But it doesn't look quite like it's just the same thing with something else. Also, there's some weird stuff in here. This is even, like, Digimon Wiki doesn't, it classifies this page as, does not follow their evolution policy, in terms of, like, canonical evolutions. At least some of them, I assume. Some of them are weird, like, Terriermon with the Digi-Egg of Miracles becomes Magnemon.
I think that's from the card game.
Right, like, yeah, it's probably, like, weird, or, like, it's less canonical sources like that. Wizardmon is on here.
Well, yeah, but a lot of the main Digimon from Season 2 have multiple Digimon, well, armor evolutions that just don't appear in Season 2.
Yeah, and most of these are pretty weird. Like, Patamon can become a rhinoceros. Like, that doesn't look like him at all. But the ones that are in the show are at least similar.
Why does Armadillomon become a seahorse?
Why does anything?
So I was actually exploring this to see what would happen if Cody had gotten the Crest of Love and Yoli had gotten the Crest of Knowledge.
Thank you.
And Armadillomon would become a pterodactyl, and Hawkmon would become a flybeemon.
Yes.
Yeah. Which would have been weird, because then it would be very similar to Stingmon, but that would figure their...
Well, we have two insect Digimon this season, if you count Digmon, because he's an insect.
Yeah, he's much more insect-y as Digmon, too.
Flybeemon is cool. I approve of this change.
let's do it. Let's change it.
Well, this was my theory. Yeah. What if...
Well, we're not talking about that yet, Andrew.
Aw. Okay. It's weird how we're treating... Or the characters are treating TK and Kari at this point like they're part of the new team, even though they don't have things
yet. It's because they're Young Bucks! Young Bucks, yo!
And because TK and Kari are the ones who know these kids, also.
Yeah.
Well, they're all in the same grade. Well, school.
Well, actually, no. Ty and Sora both know Davis.
TK just got into new school. He, like, told his life story to Yoli and Cody in episode 1.
Oh, yeah.
When he first met them.
New Digimon this episode. Hawkmon, Armadillomon, Hulsemon, and Digmon.
Yep.
Digimon, the drill of whatever.
Power.
The drill of power, but...
Why power?
Because knowledge sounded dumb.
No, so he's apparently, what I've heard is that later in the series, so he says drill of power at this point, and then at some point later in the series, he says drill of knowledge. I used to say power, but I decided to change it up.
Yeah, he does say
Yeah, I think he does.
That's a thing that happens.
I'm not sure if he does, after he says that, does he keep saying knowledge instead of power, though?
I don't remember. Did he say drill of power this time, or did he say drill of knowledge this time?
In all the episodes we've seen, he says power.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention.
Because, like, you don't expect him to say the wrong word. Yeah.
Digimon's trying to be cool, being different.
So let's talk about the actual Digimon that are new in this episode. I don't know. I guess we talked about Hawkmon and Armadillomon's weird accents and how we don't like them. We don't like them, right?
I think they're trying too hard.
Actually, it sounds... Hawkmon really sounds weird in this episode.
In this episode or in general?
No, in this episode. Like, it's really, really weird.
Yeah, I can't remember. I just find him weird all the time. Like...
No, but it gets better over time. But in this episode, it's like, it felt like a test.
Yeah, it was probably the first time.
Yeah, like the first time he'd done it.
It's like when you read the first volume of a manga and you're like, the art is terrible. And then you get to volume 5 and you're like, yeah, it's good now.
Yeah. Good.
Actually, you've been reading too much manga recently.
In episode 3, A New Digitude, we meet professional dog abuser Ken Ichijoji, who programs while staring at a screensaver. Kari and TK finally upgrade to Digidestin 2.0, and Gatomon's new form sells everyone language learning software.
Yep.
Yep. The name of this episode, oh my god.
It's the name of the first season 2 VHS.
Oh, even better.
I know.
I didn't even know there were, like, official VHS tapes.
Oh, yeah, we have one. We have this one.
Yeah, that's the only one we have other than the movie.
Yeah.
But they never did all the episodes until the DVDs that came out a few years ago. So that was the first time we ever got all the episodes in America on DVD or any other home video.
I forgot that Ken was introduced so quickly in this season.
It's really, I don't understand this choice to make it clear to the viewer that he is the Digimon Emperor.
Right.
But have it be a mystery for the kids for this long.
Digimon seems to do this a lot. Like, it's the same thing with Gatomon.
Yeah, but why?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I've heard, like, the point of having this kind of, what's it called when the viewer knows, or the audience knows much more than the people in the show?
I can't remember what it's called. Asher, come on.
What?
What's the name, like, for when the people reading know more than the people in the thing?
What?
Like, when the audience knows more than the
dramatic irony
show do.
Dramatic irony.
Yeah. So the point of dramatic irony is supposed to be that it's more enjoyable to see it as you get to learn. Like, you don't get this, like, you isolate your learning the information from watching the characters learn the information.
It builds tension.
Right, but, like, I feel like it doesn't in Digimon.
It doesn't build tension in Digimon.
Yeah. Like, we didn't have extra tension from Gatomon. Like, we just saw them running around being stupid in terms of the Eighth Digidestin and Gatomon. Well, I guess Gatomon was a genuine surprise a little bit. But, like, Kari being the eighth child was, no, that. There was no tension in that.
Mm.
We saw the characters be like, I wonder if it's Kari. No, probably not. And,
Yeah, they're supposed to be enjoyable when you watch the characters blatantly arrive at the right answer and then for them to be like, nah. Like, I don't think that's supposed to be fun.
Which I guess they at least don't do with Ken. You know, they're not like, I wonder if he's the Emperor. Nah.
But they do, but they are like,
I wonder if he could beat the Emperor. Yeah.
Right, that was really weird.
Like, they make it super obvious, like, connection to it.
Yeah.
I'm actually more concerned that they were willing to ask someone who didn't possibly know about the digital world.
Right, that was just stupid. Like, why, if they could ask other people for help, like, why didn't they do that, like, before? Like, why didn't they ask, like, the smartest person in the world? Like, it felt like a really stupid line.
They've been really cavalier about talking about Digimon.
Because the smartest person in the world is Izzy, obviously.
Oh, true.
That too.
Yeah, but they were about to... TK suggested going to someone who may or may not have known about the digital world.
I think he was joking.
No, he wasn't. He was dead serious.
Was he? It's very hard to read TK sometimes.
I feel like that line was written to be a joke and was not read as a joke.
Oh,
it probably was.
Also, when Ken, I have so much to talk about the thing they watch of Ken, which is such a minor part of the episode. But so, first of all, Ken, he accepts an award and then says, I'm humbled, which is not what humbled means. But that's like a common thing people say. And since hearing someone complain about it, it like now bothers me all the time. Because it's like, you're not humbled by finding out that you're the best person. You're honored. And also, the things Ken, like, especially the chess thing. Did you catch the dub
joke? Where they were like, yes, I caught that. And I was like, wow, really? Really?
Which one?
So like, while they're showing Ken's achievements and, like, how he...
Are you talking about the chess thing?
Right, yeah. So he's they show him, just the audience, they show him playing chess against, like, 20 different people. And then the dub, the reporter, says he can even play chess while people watch him. And
he can play a single game of chess while people watch. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that's what he's doing there.
And then they show him doing addition. Like, they just show him doing addition with long numbers. Like, that's not that hard.
And they said he's balancing the world's biggest checkbook. And I was like, yeah, sure, that's totally what he's doing.
Especially showing I can understand the dub making it more humorous than what's actually going on, but, like, showing him do math, like, that was, like, stuff that a third grader could do if they applied themselves. It's not, like, genius.
Well, there was one thing that was mentioned that only he could possibly do, and it's the dishes.
Oh, yeah, he makes self-cleaning dishes.
Except that was totally not a thing they had in their house.
Yeah.
I know.
That was so...
Yeah, they totally made that up.
Or Ken lied to his parents.
Yeah.
Well,
the dub just is it like so that reminds me of when Ken is like walking in the apartment and like the mom is talking about something and like in the background there's a door that says toilet and I guess they find it a little weird so they poke fun at it and the mom is like I just got a label maker I even love the toilet.
Yeah.
Is that what that was about?
I didn't really understand that joke. Yeah, but now I get it.
I thought she was just like obsessive.
I mean, a little, but like, there are plenty of people who say that the bathroom is the bathroom in their house. Like, that's normal.
Right. That was really weird.
Why would you make guests like wander around your house looking for the bathroom?
I guess it's weird to say toilet instead of bathroom.
Well, that's a Japanese English thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess it's also weird that it said toilet in English.
They do that.
Well, I mean, it's a word they got from English, even though it's a French word.
I guess
word.
So. How many digi eggs are in a cave? Like, ugh, so boring.
All of them.
Wait, aren't these ones in a temple?
No, that was episode
no.
two.
Oh,
my God. So there's one in a cave, two in a temple, two in a cave.
I thought it was interesting that, oh, I said interesting.
And one.
I whatever, Jeff said weird like 40 times already.
I don't want to know.
Oh, weird is the new interesting?
I don't want to know. Apparently. How it is that weird.
You're going to know because you edit these things, but, I liked that Cody was the one who noticed the eggs glowing inside of the cave. Because it still means that hope and light are attuned to youth.
Hmm.
And Cody isn't associated with either of those. Except when he DNA digivolves with TK, but, you know. I really want to pay really close attention to Cody's character arc. Because they spend a lot of time on him. And I just wasn't into it as a kid.
He definitely is the one that has the most attention, I feel. Like, he has the grandfather connection that, like, becomes important later.
Mm-hmm. Well, the dad connection.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Well, they're both
involved. And the Black War Greymon connection.
There's a Black War Greymon connection?
Well, Black War Greymon has feelings about Cody.
That sounded weird.
It's a little weird, honestly.
No, the way you worded that was weird.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know what you're talking about, so it's like extra weird.
I use Black Program on Avatar, so I'm a little offended.
Are you into Cody? Like,
anyway.
Are you, Jeff?
Moving on.
Moving on. So the evolution sequences, they show the characters that... They show the season one characters that have the same crest.
Mm-hmm.
So for, like, Flamedramon, it'll show Greymon... No, it'll show Agumon, then Greymon, then Metal Greymon, then War Greymon. And then, like, as we keep going... So, like, that's the one with the most, right? Because it has a mega form. And then you get to, like, Hawkmons, and then it's just Biomon, Birdmon, Garudamon.
Yeah.
But then you get to Gatomons... And it, like, I think it just shows Angelwoman, because, like, Gatomon's already there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It would have been, like, one of those, like, those posters where it's, like, someone, like, in a fighting pose, and then superimposed would be, like, another picture of him, and it would be, like, a funny quote, Gatomon's gonna kill everyone.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Neither do I.
It's a meme.
Oh.
I assumed...
Oh, I forget what it's called.
The names of memes are always, like, impossible to guess from the actual meme, at least for me. Like, searching for, like, dude who realizes stuff.
Oh, I found it. They called me a nerd. I called them an ambulance.
Okay, that one's actually funny.
You know, but it's like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay. I have seen this one
Yeah,
before.
You know what I'm talking about, right? I'm gonna... Like, there's the main kid, and then there's another picture of the kid, like, in the background. Like, kind of like how, like, Aunt Woman.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'll be in the show notes.
The only meme I care about is Courage Wolf. He's boss.
That's a good meme.
Courage Wolf? Is that... They were the angry one?
Yes.
How do you pronounce it? Nefertimon?
Nefertimon?
Nefertimon.
Nefertimon and Pegasusmon are so so ugly. I dislike both of them. They're so lame.
Really?
Yeah, they're not that cool.
Like, especially for the two coolest characters in season one, they had the lamest characters in season... The lamest forms in season two.
You think they were the coolest Digimon in season one? They were the most powerful, sure, but...
Maybe not the number one, but like they're pretty half there. I mean, Patamon wasn't himself, but like all of Patamon's evolutions were. And Gatomon was pretty cool on her own, and Angelmon was cool.
Yeah.
And then to get like the most lame.
Well, they were pretty much gods.
Well, angels.
I like that they're like a team.
Yeah, I like that they match.
I guess. But it's like a lame... It's like, we're both so lame, we have to stick together.
Whatever, Jeff.
Yeah. I think, but then it's like, oh, but then we need your... teamwork thing all the time.
The golden noose.
I mean, the episode where they got introduced was ridiculous. This episode was ridiculous because, like, there were three people fighting five...
They were fighting Tyrannomon.
Right, so it was three Digimon fighting five Tyrannomon, and they couldn't win. So then two Digimon beat them all. It was
like, yeah, that's how this works. That's how this has always worked in all the Digivolutions.
It's true.
Well, also, Ken purposely made it hard because before that, they were all fighting, like, one at a time.
Yeah.
So Ken actually thought of a strategy to get rid of them.
I have that in my notes for, I think, the last episode.
Wait, Ken did? I thought Ken was a genius in the real world. I didn't know he had a connection to the digital world. Is he in the digital world?
What?
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 Oh, the Digimon Emperor. My bad. The Digimon Emperor.
Spoilers.
Wow.
Ashley, do the thing.
Spoilers.
Yeah, like, he's actually a pretty good villain. He pays attention to what they do, and he creates strategy. But then he just, like, he was good at it while he was interested, and then he lost interest, like, really fast.
Yeah. I mean, he needs to in order for them to make any progress, to win anything.
Yeah.
He just kind of loses interest and goes away, and then is like, oh, you lost again, thanks to those meddling kids.
Yeah. And they're talking dog.
Yep. I wonder if anyone's made, like, a Scooby-Doo Digimon Emperor mashup.
I'm sure they have.
In episode 4, Iron Vegimon, Matt's band explores the deep philosophical implications of turning around, and the kids come up with a new plan to protect all Digimon by hiding them in the computer room. The kids finally realize the ominous Washington monuments everywhere might be bad and turn Digimon into a gang turf war.
All right, can I just request that we link the full song in our show notes?
I will veto that.
No,
I like the song. Ashley doesn't like the song. I like the song.
I
hate this episode.
I turn around, I can see what's behind
me. Okay, I
want
to point out that right after Matt sings that, there's a shot of him looking in the mirror, and he doesn't need to turn around because he can just look behind him.
He's looking at a window.
Right, at a window.
It's a window.
Not a mirror.
To the windows.
To the walls.
Thank you, Ashley. You're always there for me.
I know.
Is she there for you after you turn back around?
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Hell yeah, I am.
God damn it.
Oh, God.
Amazing.
Aside from the Matt's band stuff, it's just whatever.
Is this the episode where everybody gets whipped a lot?
Yes.
Yeah.
That happens in every episode.
But it's especially bad in this episode.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Especially Red Vegimon. Oh my god.
Yeah.
This is also the first time this season that we see the Digimon land an attack on the kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It is.
Like, before they haven't touched the kids, this is the first episode in this season.
Well, they've, Vegimon bound up Joe very similarly to how these guys are.
I said in this season.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
But it's still another Vegimon. Is this just a thing that Vegimon use?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, must be.
But it's red.
Oh. Jeff can't see that because he's colorblind.
Wow, that is racist.
Wait, can you see the difference between Red Vegemon and his minions?
So I actually can't see Red Vegemon. Like, when they're on screen, I could just see through the TV, actually.
Oh, Jeff, this joke has already been done.
Yeah, so I can see the difference. Like, it's pretty clear.
Okay.
What does it look like?
Well, I mean, both these are going to be in the show notes anyway. I think these are, like, the kind of red is very different.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Oh, especially, like, Vegemon is, like, a very neon green.
Yeah, it's more yellow, than green.
It's like a mustard.
I actually don't have too many notes for this episode.
Davis was stupid again.
Davis has a sister!
Oh, I forgot that she was introduced in the same episode she was talked about.
There's a lot on siblings this episode.
Yeah, there is.
It was contrived how she was introduced in this episode and then discussed in this episode, but whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Matt just snaps at Davis when he talks about his sister.
Yeah, I thought it was warranted. Especially because, like, we saw in the first season Matt be kind of annoyed by TK at times a little bit. But we never saw, like, outright just, I don't like my sister kind of relationship. And it was an interesting contrast. And it was a little weird how Matt got so mad, this, like, younger kid.
Well, also, Kari got mad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Kari would get mad.
Kari's getting mad is, like, whatever. Like, she doesn't know how to express emotions.
I thought she convincingly, like, rejected him. And then, but then yeah. It was stupid how he got, like, Davis got depressed by that. And then he didn't learn a lesson. Like, he ended up getting cheered out of his depression by Vemon being attacked and, like, needing to take action. He never learned that, like, I shouldn't
Davis
act this way.
Davis never learns anything.
Yeah.
At least in this arc.
No, he, like, legit never learns anything.
Really?
I guess he learns one lesson about friendship once.
Yeah, I don't think that's... I'm going to keep my eye out for that, for, like, to see what he actually learns and if he progresses, because...
No, I think he gets better during the... after they beat Ken.
Well, I wouldn't say he learns anything, but he's much more interesting after that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that TK stopped Matt and was like, he's younger than you. I'm like, are you the same age?
Yeah.
Well, no, TK is younger. Like, I mean, TK is was stopping
younger him. Younger than...
TK is the same age as Davis.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah. No, that's why it's funny.
He's younger.
He doesn't know any better.
He doesn't know any better. Yes.
Okay, yeah. It's weird for him to say that when that's his own age.
No, it's great. It's great.
Oh, this episode.
They finally get a purpose to do each episode. Like, they finally realize the Dark Spire should be taken, or the Control Spire should be taken down.
Yeah.
And they should go and do that each episode.
Yeah. But this episode was not well written.
Yeah.
That was the only point of this episode, was to tell us about the Dark Spires.
The Control Spires.
Are they called Dark Spires or Control Spires?
Control Spires. I'm so confused right now.
I guess it's like the Dark Rings and Dark Gears and Dark Digivice.
Black Gears. Why are you all saying this wrong?
Because there's so many other dark things. Like, before we started recording, I was, like, frantically typing notes or something, and, like, Ashley was there, and I was like, Ashley, what is it? It's, like, control dark, what?
Oh, yeah, he was so mad. It's pretty funny.
we get the first... One thing that's good about this season compared to season one is that we get, like, lots of different settings. Mm-hmm. That is interesting, that... At least we get more of a glimpse into the digital world, like what it's like and all these different lives and stuff. I don't know. Often it's just like a caricature or something else, though.
Yeah. But it's still, you know, we get some variety.
Yeah.
Well, we got variety in season one, too.
But not like it wasn't so, there's more whiplash with this, which I guess is a bad thing. But it's just like...
Did you say whiplash? There was a lot of whip and lashing in this episode.
Wow. Anyway, at least this episode four, the setting, what is the setting? It was like, I don't know, it's like a city on a hill?
It's a city, yeah.
It was like an Italian city.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a very, like, modern city. It was like stone houses, wasn't it?
No, but it was like very Italian.
You think so?
Yeah. It even had a name.
Oh, yeah, it was,
Oh, yeah.
That was weird.
I don't remember this.
It was, like, Santa Korea or something?
Oh, yeah! What? Yeah, something was something Santa.
Oh, it's not Italian, then. It's, like, Spanish?
I would say closer to something you'd see in, like, Mexico. Mm. That's the type of architecture it reminded me of.
It was one of those.
Because they're so similar. Really ignorant about architecture. This podcast is not about architecture.
We'll have images in the show notes of what we're talking about, but I can't find them now, so there'll be more information in the show notes than we had while recording, so...
Yeah!
This episode's really lame.
Nobody likes this episode.
But at least it's better than the next episode. The next episode is just like ice.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa.
Are you fighting me on the next episode?
Oh, the Joe episode. You're throwing down.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh, no. We're throwing down.
In episode 5, Old Reliable, Cody's grandfather shows that prune juice is the cure for everything. Gobamon tries attacking with jokes, which works about as well as attacking with prune juice. TK Kari Davis and Yoli make like good shonen heroes and make the next click in Minesweeper.
So this is the Joe episode. This was my favorite episode of these.
Oh my goodness.
My notes say things such as, Gobamon is always my favorite.
Astro, you're so predictable. It's insane.
Like, I assumed you'd like Gobamon, but like this episode would be so boring that you're like, whatever.
No, this episode is great.
This episode really is great. It's so much better than the last episode we just
I'm so happy
about.
You joined this podcast. Somebody always has my back now.
Well, I would agree it was better than the last episode. The last episode was literally Digimon just getting whipped for like 15 minutes. Literally.
Yeah.
Iron Vegemon is literally one of my least favorite episodes ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why was Gobamon in this frozen place?
Because he's ice.
Why were any of the Digimon anywhere where they were? Why were they scattered the way they were?
I seriously question this one in particular.
I don't know. I thought they all were really contrived.
No.
Gobamon digivolves to a big, fluffy thing that can survive frigid temperatures.
He can't digivolve right now.
Like, what is Ikakumon exactly?
A narwhalrus!
A sea lion?
Right.
It's like a thing.
I think actually narwhal and walrus, neither of those explains the white fur, though.
No.
Oops.
I mean, I think he's like at least three things combined.
Yeah, he's derived from a narwhal.
Really?
And a walrus. And a polar bear.
So it's the polar bear that's the important part here.
This thing makes no sense.
I adore him. Anyway. Yeah. This episode, because I already had decided I was going to pay more attention to Cody, this episode was, you know, more relevant to my interests than the other episodes were. Plus, you know, always appreciate Joe and Gobamon.
In this episode, they reused a frequent flyer mile joke.
They did?
Yeah.
I didn't catch it, actually.
It's Kari when they, like, I guess when they first go into the digital world, they're talking about how they haven't been that far before.
Yeah.
So she says, well, this should add to our frequent flyer miles.
I think they make that frequent flyer miles joke at least 5 times this season.
The thing that surprises me the most about that, actually, is that was probably a new concept at the time. So it was, like, this new, interesting buzzword, but that it still exists. Like, most things they talk about, like, floppy drives and CD drives are just whatever.
Gatchimon scratched my CDs.
They say that?
Yeah, Yoli says that.
We still have CDs. Yeah, Yoli does say that.
We still have CDs, but
they're not it's not what she meant.
Yeah.
You can still buy VHSs at, like, the drugstore.
That's weird.
But why would you?
I don't know. To record on it?
I wrote down literally, like, 2 lines for this episode. Just, like, this filler is boring. Joe is more reliable in this season. Those are all my notes.
He is definitely more reliable in this season. He is very prepared.
Unlike the last episode, we had a lot of insight into Cody.
We did.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I found that boring, though.
This just became, like, super shonen in this episode.
How so?
It was just like, oh, we've entered the land where we're gonna go destroy a control spire every episode. I'm bored. Stop.
Yeah, it was the first where it was like, this is, like, last time we were learning about control spires, now it's like, here's the first one that's just like the formula.
Yeah.
Well, it's, let's save Gobamon. Oh, there's a control spire. We might as well just take it out.
Yeah, there is that at least, that it's like, they're going to save Gobamon. It's not like they're picking a random spot and taking it down. But it's so formulaic.
Can we talk about, like, why Ken does not try enslaving any of these Digimon at this point? Like, why does he wait to try to catch Agumon until episode, whatever episode that is?
I don't understand why he, like, abuses Gobamon and lets him go.
Right?
And then is like, well, you're not going to get anywhere. Like,
why wouldn't you catch him? He's clearly got some spunk.
And this has happened before, right? Like, is this the first, or is this the first one? No, like, Gobamon,
he doesn't try to put a ring on Gobamon. Although Gobamon also doesn't, like, fight him the way Gobamon does.
But it's like,
does.
Shouldn't he know that, like, this is one of the 8 problematic Digimon? Or the 6 problematic Digimon that, like...
Right? Like, he knows about Digidestined, but... And he's seen some of them. He, like, He's been stalking Ty through his magic cameras.
Andrew, doesn't Ken interact with the older Digidestin in the WonderSwan games?
Well, Ken has weird memory problems, doesn't he? So irrelevant.
I don't think he does in the WonderSwan games.
Maybe I think of Rio?
I mean, Rio does in, what's it called?
Something Tamer, probably.
It's obviously the one before Tag Tamer.
Anode Cathode?
I think there's a game after that one, it is that one. Because Rio uses the Digidestin Digimon in
right, and doesn't episode, but like the Digidestin don't remember it afterwards, right, or something?
Something like that. It's complicated because memory stuff happens all the time.
Whenever convenient, basically.
Yeah.
Like I guess it. We did learn more about Cody. I don't know. I guess I knew this stuff about Cody, so I wasn't engrossed by it. Mm. I remember this stuff, so it wasn't...
We did learn stuff about Cody, but we also learned how he interacts with people and what his values are in that. Like, he's so quiet, it's hard to see these things about him all the time when he's with the others. And I actually really liked this one thing about his interaction with his grandfather, in that he plays along with his... he's not a funny kid, right? He's very reserved. I always thought he was really boring, right?
Yeah.
But he plays along with his grandpa. I think this problem is too big even for prune juice, is what he says. So he's still being, you know, reserved, serious Cody, but he connects. And even in an earlier episode with the Gatsumon, when they're like, we have a problem, where are we going to hide these Gatsumon? He's like, these are going to be my early masterpieces of sculpture. And that, I assume, was actually not his idea. But the Gatsumon are into it.
There's actually another thing that comes out from this episode. There's actually a bit of foreshadowing on his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this the one where he, like, refused to leave until he ate his food thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a while ago.
It was earlier.
No, it was this
episode. It was episode 3.
It was this episode.
It was this episode because made him late.
No. It was episode 3 because it was right after, like, so he first goes into Digimon in episode 2. And then episode 3 has that moment where he wants to finish eating the food.
Oh, yeah. That was episode 3.
No, wait. Wasn't that episode 4?
No, this episode he was late because he had Kendo.
Yeah.
No, but there's a line that his grandfather says that he and Cody and his dad were both distracted by something.
Mm. They looked the same. They looked the same when they were troubled. Yeah.
I know, but they were both distracted. So that could allude to spoilers.
Oh.
Mm.
Later on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the food thing definitely happened in episode 3 because I remember being like, this is really weird. This is clearly not what was said. So I watched the Japanese part of it, and that is exactly what was said.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, this is a ridiculous reason. I'm like, he's clearly afraid to go back to the digital world because he has like anxieties about Armadillomon or about the digital world or something. But no, he actually wanted to finish that tomato.
But he was full?
It could have been both things. I like that
I think it's both things.
I think I like that interpretation. I never thought of that.
I guess. It just seems so ridiculous to say, like, I need to finish this tomato.
They were trying not to be obvious this time, and now you're being like, it was...
I guess you're right.
You're punishing them.
you just can't be pleased, Jeff.
Yeah, you're unpleasable.
Also, he's 8, and, like, kids do really strange things when there are things they can't fix. Like, you can't fix having a dead dad.
You can't fix a dad, and you... can't suddenly give a kid a mission to save an entire world.
Well, you can in Digimon.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they seem to be okay with
I know,
that.
But...
And they also don't seem to care about that either. They're just like, we just do this because this is what we do. We don't really talk about why we do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Cody was actually conflicted a bit. I feel like it was.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Because, I mean, that is a big responsibility.
Yeah, and he's all about, like, meeting expectations. So it's a lot of pressure.
And it's different from the pressure the season 1 kids felt, too.
Totally different, yeah.
Because they were forced.
Yeah.
Cody has the choice.
Yeah, I'm going to talk more about that in my segment later.
See, I feel like it makes sense for Cody to be like, I need to finish this tomato, if that's, like, part of his character's, like, he has that motivation to do something that he told to do or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
And then it also has that layer of whatever Jeff is talking about.
An anxiety he can't express or doesn't know how to express, yeah.
Yeah.
Cody's an interesting kid. It's really too bad I didn't appreciate... Like, I know why I didn't appreciate him as a kid. Because he's boring. Outwardly boring. Inwardly fascinating.
Is that it for this episode?
That was all for... Well, so Abijamon was in that episode, but I mean, that's the only new Digimon, yeah. And meh. I don't even remember Abijamon that well.
Yeah.
I love how they can't pronounce Abijamon.
I love how you apparently can't pronounce Abijamon.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. In episode 6, Family Picnic, Mimi racks up some real frequent flyer miles by flying from New York to Japan. She and Digidestined 2.0 sneak into school on a Saturday, like cool nerds, to have a picnic in the digital world, until sushi rolls away and ruins everything. Roaches are annoying, and they make another click in Minesweeper.
Click!
Click.
I have a question about this episode. Did Mimi ever go to that school?
I was really confused about the schools,
oh,
too. Like, I think no? She did. I think it was the middle, like, the Odaiba middle
school. She must have. No, because that wasn't the middle school. That's the elementary school. TK's still
elementary
school. Oh, sorry,
that's what I mean, elementary school.
Yeah. No, she must have gone to that school, because she lived in Odaiba.
Yeah. Mm. I don't understand why she would have had an affinity for the computer lab, of all places, but...
She wouldn't have.
I thought she was just walking by.
Yeah, walked by and was like, there's noise here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why would she go into the school in the first place on a Saturday?
The gate was open!
Wait, was it Saturday or Sunday?
I think it was probably Sunday in Japan.
Well, Saturday in English.
My thought was that she didn't realize it was the weekend.
She was confused by time in the beginning of the episode.
I think Mimi is so stupid, she doesn't know time.
No, because she was jet-lagged. Yeah. She'd been on a plane. I got confused.
Mimi didn't seem appropriately excited by the fact of going to the digital world. She's like, I haven't been there in a while. Maybe Palmon will be there.
Like, right, she was really nonchalant about that. But then, like, she was the only one that actually had a real emotional reaction when she met their Digimon.
That's true.
I appreciated.
She's the only one who had time for it. But oh, really? Yeah. Everyone else, they, like, got reunited with their Digimon, like, at the brink of an attack.
Well, not Agumon and Tai.
But we just didn't get to see. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was the Utena reference?
Yes.
I haven't seen enough Utena to actually understand.
There was a what reference?
There was a Revolutionary Girl Utena reference, like really blatant.
Well, technically it was just Shoujo, but they just happened to have the same hair color. I don't think it was necessarily...
The dresses... I think there was enough in that scene to say it was a Revolutionary Girl Utena, specifically, reference.
Yeah, but it was shoujo in general.
I think it was specifically Utena.
I don't know. I don't think kids would get that.
Well, they I don't think they would.
It doesn't matter if they got it.
I really need to see Utena to understand.
In my notes, it says that is quite obviously a Revolutionary Girl Utena reference. So anyone who says Yoli is 100% straight can eat my socks. I'm just saying.
So good.
I was not convinced that Mimi didn't seem to do anything to inspire Yoli, but Yoli was like, oh my god, I would totally want her as a sister.
Ah!
A sister, quotes.
She was just pretty.
Actually, these last two episodes, I feel like they do inspire their second Digi-Eggs more than the
more
other...
More than the episodes that actually where they actually get their second Digi-Eggs.
No, the first set of Digi-Eggs.
Wait, so you're saying the episode with Matt... Was more he inspired Davis more than the episode with Tai inspired Davis?
Well, actually, I wasn't talking about that episode. I was just talking about Cody's.
That episode sucks.
Oh, Cody. yeah, Cody's the speech between Izzy and Cody in that episode was like it was just like, well, I guess you have the Digi-Egg of knowledge, so I'm gonna give you a speech.
Yeah,
but that speech made no sense because Cody had was like any other kid. He was curious about things.
Cody isn't even that curious.
Yeah,
he's really not.
He really isn't.
That's true, but...
He does not deserve that egg.
This episode clearly felt like a, like, girl power episode kind of thing.
Did it?
But it's weird because Halsamon was, like, the critical part of that, and Halsamon's a guy.
Well, technically, Digimon don't have gender, but whatever.
No, we've had this discussion. They do have gender.
I don't think we've come to a conclusion.
They don't, but they do.
Like, especially in the adventure canon, there's no authoritarian source that says yes or no. But also, I think the fact that Digimon are clearly characterized as a certain thing, and they have particularly voice actors that definitely portray voices in a certain way.
And there's Anjimon and Anjiwoman.
Yeah.
Well, that's... It's complicated.
Mm. Oh, it is. It? Much like gender in real life.
Well, I think Digimon is is much simpler than real life.
That's messed up.
Oh, we're gonna throw down.
I didn't have anything else to say about this episode. Except, okay. So the Roachmon brothers, they kind of remind me of this trope called the bokeh in Tsukomi routine.
Tsukome?
Yeah, probably. Tsukome.
You're talking about Manzai comedy.
What?
Manzai.
Probably.
Basically, there's the straight man and the funny person. It's the same thing as the one in American comedy or whatever. Western.
I wasn't sure if it was fair to say that about these two, though, because it seemed like both of them. No, there was no straight man.
There was no straight man.
Yeah, they were both stupid.
The straight man was the girls.
Mm.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what to say about this episode that I haven't said before in other episodes featuring Mimi.
I love this episode.
Of course you do.
I know.
I don't know. I do not, whatever, this episode, whatever. I have things to say about the framing of the picnic that I'll get to later, but the actual fight and stuff, meh. Roachmon or whatever.
The Roachmon are hilarious. And I'm sure I'm the minority here, but I found them hilarious.
Definitely minority.
Yeah. I mean, they were... It was Digimon. The usual entertainment level of Digimon.
I just love their lines and their yard sale references.
Oh, because you love yard sales.
Maybe. can I say something?
No.
Aw.
Go for it.
You know how you guys say that their Digimon are usually like them?
Maybe.
I guess.
It's actually the opposite for Yuli and Cody and Hawkmon and Armadillomon.
I'm not sure about that. I think that...
I don't think I've seen enough of their personalities yet.
Yeah, I think that Armadillomon has...
No, but Hawkmon at this point is, like, all about, like, honor and stuff, and he's kind of like Cody, actually. And then Armadillomon's just, like, lazy.
Are you saying Yuli is lazy?
No.
How very dare you? But, like, I wouldn't say that the Digimon are like their kids.
No, but they're similar.
Let me finish.
Okay.
I wouldn't say...
No.
I know where you live. I have a key to your house.
I know where you live, too.
Yeah, but I'm stronger than you.
I don't think that Gabumon is like that.
What I think is that...
Or Gomamon is not like Joe.
Okay, I would argue that. But, I have opinions about Joe and Gomamon.
Really? Really? I didn't know that.
Do you?
Yeah. But what I think about the Digimon, if any of you would ever let me finish, is that they represent a part of the kids that doesn't necessarily always show, but is very important to them deep within.
That's so deep.
Yeah, super deep. I don't know if you guys have read His Dark Materials by Philip Pullman. It's a young adult series, trilogy. Young adult trilogy. Fantasy trilogy. You should read it, Ashley.
I don't think I have.
Okay, but there's this idea that demons, which are these little animal sort of projection things of people's souls, don't necessarily reflect their human's personality, but something else that's within their nature. Because they're the soul, there's the spirit, the soul, and the body, right? That's like a thing. So I feel the same way about Digimon.
I would agree with that.
That does make sense when you put it that way.
Yeah. That's what I think, anyway. I will agree with myself. Well, we all know what my favorite episode of Digimon and Digidestined is.
Wait, who's your favorite Digidestined, Joe or Mimi?
Joe!
Okay, I guess that's true.
Oh, we're talking about favorite characters, too?
Favorite everything.
Favorite anything.
Pick a favorite something. You know what? I'm going to throw down. This is why I said no comment with Flangemon earlier, because I actually really love Flangemon.
That's okay. You can have your inferior opinion.
Well, Flamedramon looks like every other Vemon armor evolution.
No, Ragemon isn't cool.
It's not just how he looks. I wonder about his, like, breastplate thing. That's kind of weird. But it's like...
His little belly shirt.
Yeah, what's going on there? I don't know. But I think it's the same thing where, like, Metal Seedramon had his, like, weird surfer bro voice. I'm just like, his voice is, like... funny enough for me.
All right.
Did you know that according to this chart,
no.
Which I don't trust the canonicalness of anyway, that Gilmon with the flame of courage, with the Digiego courage, becomes Flame Dramon?
Oh.
It's like two of your favorites.
XVmon also becomes Flame Dramon.
Yeah. And a Goonimon apparently.
Yeah, XVmon is ugly though. Ew.
Yeah, XVmon's bleh.
I like XVmon.
Of course
well,
you do.
I think these are all card game stuff. Oh wait, there's sources.
Okay, don't get distracted with this, guys. I already spent 10 minutes distracted with that.
Guys, you're not going to find anything better than Rinkmon, so give up.
What was your favorite whatever, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff.
I didn't prepare this. It's like the one thing I totally forgot about.
I'm usually the one that forgets about this section.
Yeah, you're normally it's like me and Ash are like, oh yeah.
I would have to say that it was the foreshadowing of Ken in the first two episodes before they actually make it extremely clear. Mm. Like it's really? It's rarely you have a twist like that where you it's a twist done well where you give the viewer enough information to make the conclusion, and it's about making like letting them make the leap, and the show did not execute. They didn't actually do that in a good way. Like, it then revealed it to the audience and then waits like 10 episodes to reveal it to the people in the show. But at least the way in isolation it is in those first two episodes. Actually, I guess in the second episode, they harp on the he doesn't come out at night thing, like, a little bit too much. So it was like a little like, well, that's a little obvious. But I don't know, it's hard to judge without, like, I know who he is.
Yeah, is the point of dramatic irony supposed to be that you're supposed to enjoy watching the characters who don't know how they figure it out?
Maybe not how, but also, like, not how they figure it out, but also how they react.
Uh-huh. But Digimon doesn't do either of those things well.
Well, I mean, we haven't seen how they react yet. And
I guess.
I think that's the next...
Yeah, it'll be in the next arc.
No, the next batch of episodes.
Yeah, and I definitely think they do a decent job of showing the how they find out in an interesting way. But the reaction, I don't remember too much about that.
I do.
You'll see. It's fairly soon.
Andrew, what's your favorite?
My favorite? I'm actually torn between episodes 5 and 6.
Yeah!
Those are the two boring episodes.
You're the boring.
Episode 4 is definitely the worst.
Oh, yeah. Let's just, like, throw episode 4 out.
Yeah.
Throw out what now?
Exactly.
Oh, Iron Vegemon. Oh, yeah, that was worse, yeah.
No, what episode? There was no episode.
I actually liked the stuff that Davis went through, kind of.
Oh, wait.
I didn't.
Okay, episode 4 is my favorite episode.
Say what now?
Of all of Digimon. Iron Vegemon.
No.
Iron Vegemon for life. So, I wanted to talk about the, at this point, what is evident, like, the differences between the season and Adventure. And, I mean, I don't think it's fair in general to really, like, compare one season to the other and, like, nitpick those differences, but especially for Adventure and Zero Two, I think it is, because it's so similar. It's the same world, same production team, the same style.
Well, it's always the same production team.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, well, anyway, it's... Right, so there are a lot of differences, and some of them are good, some of them are bad. We, like, from the beginning, get more dynamic fights. They seem to do, like, the fights seem to be more than just each Digimon doesn't attack and the stronger one wins, which is good. I like that. But also, the focus Digimon wasn't really on the fights, and it seems like other stuff suffers. They also, we get fights with larger groups of Digimon, and I think it's necessary because in the first season, like, in this part of the first season where it was, like, everyone was learning their Digivolutions, they had other restrictions, like, you could only Digivolve once per day, and they had a sense of, like, where they were in the timeline, and that restricted who could fight and who could help. And this season, everyone gets reset every day, so every episode, so it doesn't matter. Everyone can Digivolve every time, so they need to fight more enemies to make sense when they have 5 Digimon that can fight. And I feel like, I'm not sure if it really... fighting big groups of Digimon actually adds much to the show.
Well, I found that it made me appreciate Ken as a villain a bit more and his planning.
Hmm. Like, he's more able to do this stuff.
Yeah. And I do think that the fact that he's the one that does this and not Myotismon, not any other big bad, coordinates as well as this says something about the human Digimon dynamic or the human digital world dynamic. The digital world is always pulling things in from the human world when it needs it. It's humans are like its patch job deals. What? I don't know anything about computers, but
it's kind of like the antivirus.
What? Where are we going with this?
The Digidestin are Norton antivirus security.
That's not where I was going with that.
But I'm trying to think, I'm trying to remember what happens after the Emperor arc, and if I'm remembering correctly, they don't really do this fighting big groups of Digimon ever again. Like, I think it's usually, like, one main thing they fight each episode at that point, right?
At that point, it's Arukenimon and Mummymon, so yes.
Right, like, each of them, like, it's like each episode they activate a new Spire and...
Yes.
Until, yeah.
Well, I think they do fight more in the last arc.
Oh, well, there's the Giga House. which takes hordes of Digimon to an entirely new level.
I think it's, yeah, they're in the world tour, there are lots of Digimon they fight, and in Daemon Core stuff, but yeah, they're,
yeah.
It's, yeah, it's not fair. It's not just with Ken.
It's not just with Ken, but I think Ken is the one that...
This is the first time it's been introduced.
Only one to do it that well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or that well on purpose, anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's also weird because, like, my Otismon had an army, he just didn't use it effectively.
Yeah, he really didn't. On the other hand, he was not controlling them the way that Ken was. They were just, you know, an actual army under him. There was a lot of dissent.
Yeah, he did teach Ken how to whip people, though.
My Otismon?
Yeah, he had a lightning whip.
He did, but Ken didn't, wasn't there.
Whatever. I'm just saying. Yeah. He's...
Only Davis was technically there.
Cody was there.
Wasn't Cody on the plane? Did I make that up?
Yeah, he was on the plane.
He was on the plane.
So he was after my Otismon, technically.
Hmm. Whatever.
Yeah, and I don't know. I definitely feel that feeling I had as a kid of, like, you know, liking adventure, and then, like, this is, like, a whole new show, the stakes are higher, like, they're all these, they're fighting all these Digimon, and, like, whoa, and, like, even the fact that it's a little weird how most of the Digimon they've fought so far have been repeats in the first season.
No.
Except better.
Yeah, like, there have been teams of them and stuff.
Yeah.
One of them wasn't used last season.
Oh, no, I'm not saying all of them, I'm saying some, most of them.
Most of them.
There were new ones, like a Bidramon, Red Vegemon, that's just a Red Vegemon. By and large, it's the same Digimon they've seen before, just groups of them, so it's, like, It's that feeling I had as a kid of, like, it's seen stuff, but, like, bigger and better. It's totally there, but I feel like that's a, when you actually look at it critically, it's a facade for, like, the other problems that are going to arise, that have already arisen and are going to arise later. This is kind of obvious. Like, the digital world this season is not a threat. You know, like, in Adventure, we had 3 episodes before the first Black Gear even appears. It appears in episode 4, because there were 3 episodes of, like, getting used to the digital world and, like, adapting to it and figuring it. And it's, like, in this season, we had... Because it was, like, 3 episodes before we had before they realized they could take down Control Spires. But it's, like, you know, they digivolve right away. They already fight with Control. They already fight Black Dark Rings. Is that what they're called? Dark Rings?
What?
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
they fight Dark Rings from the first episode on, because it's, like, there's no threat to the digital world. The digital world is a place they go for picnics, literally. And,
yeah.
Like... I find it weird that, like, especially in the picnic episode, that, like, Mimi and TK and Kari are all okay with that. Like, I feel like someone would be like, like, the digital world isn't a place you go for picnics. Like, but I guess it is. I don't know.
I think that group in particular would be a group that's very happy to go on picnics in the digital world. Like, they're happy that that's possible.
Yeah, I guess so. And I guess that's the thing. It's happy that it's, like,
yeah,
a time of peace. But it's not a time of peace, is the weird thing.
Yeah.
They go there and they're like, well, this isn't a region that's being oppressed, so it's fine. Like, shouldn't you be spending your time freeing the oppressed regions? Like, yeah.
It's Saturday.
It's a weekend. Freaking weekend, baby. Gotta have me some fun. God.
Maybe the Digimon Emperor isn't...
Yeah, it's true.
Is taking the... Maybe he's also taking a break. Except on Saturday. Who knows?
Also, didn't Mimi have a line where she was like, we could never go on picnics?
Right, but it wasn't like, it was more like...
Yeah, she did.
I'm jealous, not like, you guys are, like, not respecting the world.
She was just happy. She's like, I get to go on the picnic and go back? Hell yeah! Well, let's go.
Who doesn't love Mimi Tachikawa?
They get their evolution so fast. It's like, you know, episode 1, they get 1. Episode 2, they get 2 more. Episode 3, they get 2 more. Mm-hmm. And that progression took 6 episodes of the first season. I guess it's only half. But it's just weird. Like, I don't want to give the impression I'm saying that everything that's different from Adventure is wrong. Because I totally don't. I don't think Adventure is, like, the best thing ever in any way that this diverges is bad. But it doesn't, like, I don't feel like I value the evolution as much when it's, like, they get dumped on you and they get used every episode. Whereas in Adventure, it was, like, a big deal when they got them and they didn't appear right away every episode. They, you know, like, had the mechanic of only digivolving once per day for a while. And so they built up anticipation. I mean, there are the obvious problems of, like, why do the kids care about the... Like, they don't seem to... You know, like, the kids in Adventure were forced into it. They couldn't escape. And these kids choose to go in every day.
Because it's exciting. Wouldn't you want to go?
But they get... I mean, this hasn't happened so much yet. I'm trying to remember what happened each episode. They get thrown into, like, really dangerous scenarios every time, almost. Like, we haven't gotten to the point where, like, they're all hanging and Davis has to choose who to kill. But that is going to happen. And it's like, they don't... Why do they risk... Like, it seems like the writers had to up the stakes to combat the fact that the digital world itself isn't threatening. And so, like, they never seem to have quit this moment where they're like, why do we keep coming back? I might die today, but I'm going to go back, whatever. Like, they... I don't know. It just feels like there are these questions that the show doesn't explore at all, that didn't need to be explored in Adventure. And that's why they kind of like copy the formula, but then it's like totally different context, so it doesn't work as well. And so I think when we were talking Adventure, I brought up Lost a lot, because I mean, it's like stranded on an island, it's pretty clear how the similarity comes up. But Lost, I don't want to like spoil the ending or anything, but dealt with these people who were stranded on this island. They hated being there, but over the course of the show, they like they have happy moments and everything. And one of the messages of the finale was kind of like, you people were chosen because you needed it, because you needed to be there, and like it actually benefited you to be there. And they're all like, whoa, it's true. And like as viewers, you too are like, yeah, I like the show. I liked when they were on the island. And but it like undermines all the like Lost, the show where like tons of people died on the island because of this, you know, like, and it's just like, oh, we'll just ignore that. Like ignore the fact that like your friends died there, but because like you had fun. And Digimon isn't that bad, but it's definitely like framing it in a way that's like they didn't want to be there in the first season, but over the course of it learned that it was fun and like met friends and grew closer with these Digimon and like made lifetime friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then in season two, it's just like this place you just go when you want to. And
they're younger than you. They don't know any better.
But the kids are the same age as Adventure.
Shh.
I don't know. Do you all agree or disagree with my thoughts?
I agree.
I mean, yeah, there's a definite change in tone. They bring it up later.
You mean the killing
the
stuff?
Kids. Or? The kids, yeah.
Right,
the
kids, but they don't bring it up at all until then.
No, because, I mean, they retconned a happy reunion time into season two for the older kids, too.
I guess.
When they gave up their crests. So they got to experience a little bit of the peace time.
Oh, yeah.
But that was to protect the digital world.
Yes. But like they got to see that it was better,
and they protected it so well.
Well, actually, the Dark Ocean—that's technically the Dark Ocean's fault.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, the digital world was protecting itself from itself. But then something corrupted something else, which went
everything
into
everything is connected. Woo!
Well,
actually, though, it's not entirely the Dark Ocean. I mean, like in terms of like Oikawa manipulating Ken. Ken,
that's true.
Ken's Digivice came from the Dark Ocean, but...
Well, technically, Ken's Digivice was a Digivice soaked in the Dark Ocean water.
There's a lot there.
Basically, yeah. Outside forces from somewhere other than the digital world is straying the digital world. But beforehand, it was always... The digital world was under threat from something from the digital world.
I guess so. And even if we say that Oikawa was the main threat, that came from the real world too, kind of.
Well, technically, Oikawa was the main threat because of something else.
Yeah.
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 Ashley doesn't even remember who Oikawa is.
Nope.
Well, let's leave that aside then, because then she gets to rediscover it. So I already mentioned before that Davis is not really much of a leader. I would say that season two doesn't really have a leader at all. Or if it does, then it's still Ty.
I don't think they really need to have a leader, right? They're not like as a group going between different places. They're like just meeting up and going to their
right.
extracurricular club every day.
Right.
Yeah, they're more of a democracy or something.
Yeah, kind of. And I think that's part of the change in tone that Jeff was talking about. But I also enjoy seeing how the older kids treat both the newer kids and the digital world that they haven't been to in so long. Joe was super prepared, like, wow. He had rope. He had so much rope in his bag. Like, what was that?
Joe, like, wow.
And the ice packs. I mean, not the heat packs.
Heat pads, yeah.
He probably had ice packs, too, somewhere.
Yeah, probably. It was not a very big bag, but...
It was a magic bag.
Yeah, he's Felix the Cat.
Oh, Ashley, aren't you going to mention the bags and the sequence?
Well, I just like that they animate the bags having to go into the digital world.
Yeah, I like that, too. I think for all that the show drills and drills and drills that, you know, they're passing the torch, they're giving up the goggles, they're letting them have their personal crests that they worked so hard to unlock, and the kids don't even have to do anything. They just shout Digi-Armor Energize, and their Digimon gets some swag. But like, they're still the ones doing all the thinking for the new kids. every episode so far has been the older kids telling the younger kids, or the older kids telling the new kids what to do. TK and Kari kind of know what to do.
But the kids do kind of, like, get some guidance from the older kids and then, like, keep doing that. You know, like Izzy sets them up and, like, how to use the thing, to use the digiport, whatever. And then they keep doing it after, like, I can see how, like, they kind of guide them, put them in their direction. They just keep sailing that direction.
Yeah, but the older kids are also still involved. They're the ones still having the serious discussions.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the newer kids are all, let's go have a picnic. And the older kids are like, so there's this new threat.
Well, Cody wanted to be like that, but then they shot him down.
Yeah, there was that. I was mad about that, actually. I, like, wrote down, like, wait, and it was only Yoli and Davis who actually shot him down. But then TK and Kari didn't back him up, and I was like, well. I like the decentralization of authority in Season 2. Despite the fact that the older kids are much better leaders now, Ty's a much better leader, the older kids can do... They are confident enough in themselves and what they're capable of to show the newer kids how to do it.
So, like, you were talking about the older kids and how they're doing a good job of being a leader, and I just thought back to how not all of them are available all the time, and how it seems like they are, like, the digital world is now less important to them than their extracurricular lives, but...
Their extracurricular lives?
Yeah. They're extracurriculars. Like, they're at club activities.
The older kids?
It's a big deal in Japan. Yeah. Because I mean, like, Matt's like, well, I'm in a band, so I can't go, and...
Sora should be on the tennis team, I believe.
She is.
She didn't bring that up in this, but anyway, like... In a way, like, I was talking before about how, like, the new kids don't really have to, like, go through the hardships the old kids had to do. But this is kind of the opposite, like, where it's the old kids, when they went to the digital world, it was, like, they went there for a couple months, came back in a day. And then, like, when they went back to the digital world, it was, like, again, like, a really short, you know, would have only been a couple minutes in the real world or whatever. Like, they didn't have to give up their real lives to do this stuff.
I would refute that a little in that the older kids can't fight right now because of the control spires. Otherwise I think they'd be more involved.
Well, they can now a little bit.
They can a little bit, yeah.
I mean, if they're strategic, they can. If they warp somewhere where they can evolve, and then, like, they showed Greymon doing that.
Yeah.
We get it, they can do it a little bit.
Garurumon.
But the other thing is, their Digimon can, once they have digivolved, they can just stay digivolved by themselves and take care of things.
Oh yeah, did they imply that? That's weird.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, that is what they implied.
And the other thing is, the older kids' Digimon, we know that they have lived on their own in the digital world before the kids showed up for a long time. It's the same for them as it is for the kids. They can handle themselves. The new kids' Digimon have been literally living under rocks. So I think it's less that the digital world isn't important to them so much as the digital world doesn't need them the way it used to. Because if they had D3s, you know they'd be all over this.
I can't.
Ty would be all over this.
Ty is one of the best ones at, you know, doing what he can.
And Izzy. Izzy's there more than Ty is.
Izzy was in the first few episodes and hasn't been since.
He comes
back. Yeah, but later on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Izzy's more involved than Ty is, kind of. Well, it's maybe equal.
All I know is Joe's the worst.
Oh.
No, Mimi is. She's in America.
She doesn't have internet access in America?
Yeah. Mimi just can't always go to the digital world because she has to wait for a gate to open.
Yeah.
Because there's no D3 in America. Because the only ones who can open the gates at will are the D3 Digidestined.
Yeah. And the thing with Joe is we know that he's 15, and we know that he's studying for his high school entrance exams, and that is a big deal in Japan. Like, the things that are big deals in Japan are a lot more important in this season, because they're in Japan, obviously.
It's weird. I don't know. Joe brings up an interesting thing of just, like, we don't really understand why he's so, like, we have to kind of go back to the Japanese canon to understand why he cares so much about, like, because in the English he's in high school and trained to become a doctor, kind of, like, that makes no sense. And we have to go back to Japanese just to be like, well, this, okay, it makes sense now. He's practicing for high school entrance exams.
Yeah. And we already knew he was like that. Like, he's actually better about ditching his human world responsibilities to come help the digital world now than he was before, where he was like, At the beginning of the Myotismon arc, like, doesn't he get trapped on the other side because he was going to cram school?
Wait, he was like, I have summer school, I need to go to this.
Yeah, yeah.
And in Japanese, that was just like, I have cram school. Like, right. It's the same thing.
Yeah. So, like, he's actually better about it now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't think the digital world is any less important to them. They have other responsibilities now that they did not have when they were 11.
So I think that the Digimon VA is really lacking. I mean, they don't even get benefits. Like, Joe's trained to be a doctor, I guess. I guess that's how they're going to staff up. But I mean, none of the other kid, like, Gomon gets injured, Gabumon gets injured. They don't send any doctors. They don't get any appointments.
They sent Joe.
He's not even a full doctor.
It's fine.
There are serious issues with the Digimon VA that need to be investigated.
He set, like, Ogremon's broken arm when he was 11.
Oh, yeah.
He can handle this.
And that's apparently all he does, like, in the epilogue. That's still what they show him doing.
Yeah, I know. Ogremon needs to, like, settle down.
Oh, yay, gender. I mostly have one very specific scene. Well, okay, first, wait, hold on. Let me get this.
I really liked how we had strong female protagonists.
No,
and
quiet.
There was a female in the show, so I don't think there's anything to complain about.
Disclaimer, gender segment is, yes, this is a Japanese show, and Japan has different views on feminism. We're not trying to be, like, imperialists. Like, we don't think anybody from Japan is listening to this. So we have a Western audience in mind, and we are Western, and there's no one feminism, just like there's no one reality in the world. So
I think this might actually be the first time we've mentioned feminism, actually.
Whatever, see, they're fine.
Like, I've never thought of this stuff that we've said as being feminist, because I...
Okay,
Because by the time we started, like, I'm not saying it's not feminist. I'm saying I didn't think of it that way. Because, like, I just thought of it as, like, well, duh. And then...
Okay.
And then once I, like, learned about feminism, I'm like, well, yeah, that's... Yeah, I thought everyone just came to this conclusion, too. Which is obviously not the case.
Obviously. So anyway, the disclaimer is just, you know, chill out.
we're not trying to say that, like, a show is... We're never trying to say a show is bad for particular portrayals of people. We're not trying to say that, even necessarily, that it, like, should be fixed. That, like, things that have this bad representation should be gone.
We're not saying you're a bad person if you like it.
But I mean, the attitude of, like, it's made for boys, so only boys' opinions matter, is problematic, because why is it made for boys?
Well, it's also just problematic because women are also going to watch it. Just, that's, like, inevitable.
And, like, even if it's for boys, there's just so much to unpack in that statement. Like, even if it's for boys, why shouldn't women's or girls' opinions matter? And even if it's, like, what is the point of making something for boys? Like, what does that mean, etc.?
Right, I mean, I think of it as, like, well, I just thought of it now, but, like, the show is made for a Japanese audience, right? But, like, does that mean that, like, our opinion as Americans about, like, anything about the show matters, like, doesn't matter at all? You know, like, if we have critical opinion, like, we think that something is done particularly bad in this episode or this season or whatever, like, does our opinion not matter at all because we're from America? I think that's crazy.
I think you would have to take it knowing that it was a Western opinion. I don't think...
I'm not trying to make the, like, Western feminism point. I'm saying that, like, just like the show is made for a Japanese audience. We are not a Japanese audience, but our opinions still matter. Just like if it's a show, quote unquote, made for boys, the opinion of the people who are not boys still matters.
I guess, but you had the complaint over the last Miyazaki film. What was it called? The Wind Rises? Yes.
Yeah.
I almost said The Sun Also Rises. Nice. Anyway, The Wind Rises is, like, critics in America were mad because it doesn't portray the Japanese as evil in any way, and we're like, they were on the wrong side, blah, blah, blah. And I personally don't feel like that opinion is super valid. Like, because we also did really horrible things to them.
Like, I think those critics were wrong not because they were from America, but wrong because they were imposing their American views and other things.
Right, and that, you gotta walk that line.
But I mean, it's like, this is more like a woman being like, I do not exist as a person in this. That's very different than, like, expecting the media to represent women is better, which is what I think the American thing is most closely similar to. Like, the critics of The Wind Rises were saying, like, they don't seem to be, like, they're portraying this as good, even though we all know this was terrible. And I'm lost. Never mind.
What? I'm lost, too.
I don't think that's an entirely fair connection. I think if we start exploring that, it's, like, a really deep hole to go down.
I think the point is, don't be imperialists. Children.
Yeah.
Imperialism is bad.
Okay, we have an example of imperialism in the show because the Digimon Emperor.
Yeah, and he's bad. So don't
he's
be him.
Very bad. Bad Kenichi Joji.
Bad Kenichi Joji. You should get whipped.
Well, he does.
Dot dot dot. Anyway. There's one very specific scene in the very first episode that I think just encompasses how gender both plays into our everyday internalized ideas of what gender is and how we interact with it. And it was just such a, like, subtle, not really subtle, but just, like, it just manipulated in such a way that I was like, wow, I can tell I'm going to have lots of fun with gender in this season, eh?
Yeah.
So the scene is that, you know, Tai is in the digital world. He sees the digi-egg, digi-mental, whatever the heck it is, thing that has the Crest of Courage on it. And he's like, I can't lift this. So then eventually when Davis, Kari, TK come, and Tai explains, you know, I can't lift this. I think he tries again anyway. And then after he tries, you're like, you know, TK goes, and he can't lift it either. And then there's a moment in my mind where I was like, oh, they want to play it like, only dudes can lift it, because that's obviously why I was like, TK is going to go next because he's a guy. So then we're going to play that. So I was like, so then the logical thing would be Davis tries to pick it up next. And I'm like, but no, they don't want that, because they want Kari, like they want the old Digidestined to be the ones to all try first. Mm-hmm. So of course Kari has to pick it up next. So I was like, how are they going to play it? But then they just played it with, they had a really horrible dialogue exchange about gender. We have to find it in my notes.
Oh, no, I know it. She says, this needs a woman's touch. And then she tries and fails. And TK's like, too bad there's not a woman around, or whatever. I didn't write it down.
It's, okay, no, it's specifically, it's Kari says, move aside, this is a woman's job. Mm. And she goes up and struggles to pick it up. And then TK jokingly says, too bad we don't have a woman here to help. And I was just like, oh my god. And I feel like, I just feel like I would have been so much more satisfied if it had just been like, Kari goes and tries to pick it up and fails, and that's fine. Like, the old Digidestined are like, okay, it's not for us. Now Davis can try. But they just like, they were like, we know that you expect these gender things, so we have to explain it away with a very specific gender explanation. And I was like, I just can't deal with this scene.
Actually, I really don't understand where this comes from. Like, I didn't follow your, like, reasoning for, like, how you expect them to do this and they do that instead. And the gender, like, I don't, especially compared to other things the show subtly says, or, like, says that are, like, subtle little jabs and little paper cuts. This, I feel like, so Kari says it's, like, a job for a woman, and she's, like, kind of being, like, you know, like, well, my distinguishing characteristic is I'm a woman, so I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna prove you wrong, or something, which is, like, I don't, whatever. And then when she can't do it, TK joke of, like, well, we don't have a woman around is, like, I guess I don't see how that's, like, super offensive or, like, perpetuates any stereotypes or
does things that are harmful. I'm not saying that the lines specifically are what's wrong. It's the fact that they set up expectations of, like, the two guys go first. So you're like, so they want, they're trying to, like, and then you expect Davis to go next because he's a guy and Kari is not.
Didn't expect that.
Maybe I didn't expect it either, but I also reacted poorly to this exchange because they pointed out that Kari's a woman. Like, they made that a thing.
Right, and the fact that they're like, the fact that they go and make Kari's gender the focus of why she goes next and not Davis is exactly what I'm trying to, like, that's why the setup of the expectation is all the guys would go first.
I don't understand why the expectation is all the guys go first.
Because they're stronger in Crab.
I guess if you're thinking of it as a thing that actually requires physical strength to take out, which I so far moved from thinking it was. But it's also weird because, I mean, like, Kari was the one who called attention to her gender. It wasn't someone else. I mean, obviously the writers are the actual people who wrote that in, not Kari. She's not a real person.
She's real in our hearts.
She's much realer in this season than last season. I will give her that.
That's true.
We should have an award for most improvement in realism.
Kari. I don't know. Well, I definitely had the expectation of, like, they are trying to set it up by the fact, like, okay, it would have been broken had it been explained away, like, Ty went, and then Kari went, and Kari was like, well, I'm your sister or something. Like, we're siblings. Something like that. Would have easily broken the you expect all the guys to go first gender thing. But they purposely make TK go next, and then are like, but we want all the old Digidestin to go, so we have to explain away why Kari would go next and not Davis. And we're going to explain it with gender.
I mean, I assumed that all the veterans were going first.
Right, like, that's the thing. My expectation was the veterans would go first. Like,
But that's what I'm saying. Oh, you guys are not following this. Okay, yeah. You as an audience are like, they want all the veterans to go first. Right, and that is what they want. So they have to, but you're like, but your gender expectation is that mm-hmm. all three guys would go first. So they have to specifically explain why Kari would go before Davis. But and the way they do it is through gender.
I think we would all argue they don't have to do that. They clearly chose to do that. I don't think anyone would argue they had to. Like, if they had said, let's all previous suggestions go first, no one would have been like, but she's a girl.
They didn't have to, but that's what they were like.
That's what they did, yeah.
Your thinking is possibly going to be this, and so we're going to, like, reinforce it.
I don't know. I
mean, and try to break it, but JK, like...
I viewed it as, like, silly banter that... Well, Ash, you said you also, like, reacted negatively to it, right?
Yes.
Did you explain what was negative?
I didn't like it because, like Ashley, they made the gender thing a thing. And also, like...
Like, Kari has more to herself than just the gender.
They did it in a way where Kari was trying to assert a woman's strength. In a way that is often made fun of when a dude does it, for one thing, but then she was belittled for it, and I really didn't like that.
This is true.
And it also, like, if she's like, well, women are, like, better, and then it's, like, immediately shot down, and no, they're not, haha, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I do like, though, how it wasn't, so TK is shooting, or belittled her, not women.
Yes.
It's not good that she was belittled, but, like...
It's not...
It was more like, but you're not woman enough, not women are crappy at this.
But I don't like that either.
Yeah, but yeah. TK saying she's like a girl.
Or saying she's a tomboy or whatever.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he was saying that she was a tomboy. Because, like, that's a ridiculous accusation to make about Kari.
she uses a camera technologies for boys, so.
She has short hair, like... She has shorter hair than Ken Ichijoji, obviously. but like
the scene is just everything.
I didn't like. It's just not. It's not good.
I mean, yeah. I see issues. I feel like the issues this scene, the problematic elements of this are so much smaller compared to other like.
No, because the other things are like super overt. Like Davis crap is super super overt. This one was like a very specific setup situation that was just like crazy amounts of manipulation of gender.
But so what, the way I'm trying to think about this is like a media's representation of gender is problematic if it reinforces problematic beliefs, is the basic thing. And I guess I'm failing to see how this reinforces, like what this reinforces.
It reinforces that like women don't have as much strength and that you would expect men to win in a match of physical strength if that was...
But I mean, like, that's not, like, if Davis is the one who has to pick up the egg, there's no way, like...
I explained if it had been Ty and then Kari and then TK, that easily breaks the belittling pattern.
I guess the thing is that the fact that Kari has to fail at it, if you draw in gender to that, that reinforces beliefs about gender. Whereas if you just let Kari fail for other reasons, like everyone else failed. Everyone else failed for no reasons aside tied to gender.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That is what Ashley has been saying. And the other thing is it also like, nobody gets on TK's case for belittling Kari. So it's okay to belittle girls. I don't like that.
Yeah, like, Kai's not like, hey, stop making fun of my little sister or something. Like,
yeah, like, I mean, that or Davis would also isn't be like, obnoxious.
Hey, stop, don't hate on my girl or anything. Like, there's
that would
not,
also
that would bother me, but like, it's still like,
it's still, yeah. Because then I mean, it's like the dudes fighting over the girl who cannot defend herself, but like, there was just like no
reaction. Yeah, there was just like silence from the two dudes who ostensibly care the most about Kari.
Wait, everyone in that room. Yeah. Know, it's like, it's her brother, her actual kind of lover, her wants to be lover.
Yeah, it's the three dudes who legitimately should care the most about Kari.
Oh god, that's a really weird like room of people. Like, what if Kari left and they were like, let's talk about her. Like...
Let's talk about how she's not a girl, but not yet a woman.
Wait, guys, are we Team Davis or Team TK?
Team TK.
Okay. Actually, I'm Team Yoli, kinda.
Okay. I wrote down this in notes in the it's beginning of episode 2 apparently.
Kari don't need no man.
Yeah, there we go.
So when they fall out of the computer at the beginning of episode 2, like after the first trip,
yes.
Kari stays in Yoli's arms for like a really long time, just like
she does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I noted that.
Yeah.
We'll have a picture of that in the show notes.
I noted that. Wait until they DNA Digivolve for the first time. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm not really invested in the ship, but I'm deeply, deeply invested in Kari not being interested in men.
So you don't care about this ship, but you care about the fleet.
I care about the destruction of the other armada, is what I'm saying.
Wow.
What?
Oh, actual ships.
Oh, wait, I was like, where does the word ship come from? All right, relationship, okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, you got it.
Now we're all on the same page here.
Although I am very fond of TK and Kari as a couple.
Ash, I don't want to spoil anything, but they don't happen.
Debatable. Debatable.
Let's see. And then, I mean, the stuff with Yoli is just like, I feel like it's such a stereotype with the scenes with Mimi where she's like, I secretly want to be a girl who wears pink dresses. Like, it reinforces that girls who are outwardly tomboys just secretly are like failed girls who secretly really want to be.
Yoli does wear pink dresses, though. Well, red dresses.
She does, yeah. Just not as...
She's not mean.
She wears bandanas, though, too, on her head or whatever.
Well, from what I understood, she just wants a sister as nice as Mimi.
There's more to it than that, Andrew.
I know, but it was mainly that.
I mean, what she said was, I want a sister like this, not like I want to be like this.
Well, she did, at the end, say, I want to be just like you.
Okay, fair point. That's the opposite of what I just said. So,
yeah. Yeah. She wants to be Mimi. She wants to be with Mimi. She's into Mimi.
she didn't look up to Sora that much, and Sora is so much cooler.
Well, because that wouldn't fulfill the stereotype.
Are you rating what system are you rating girls on now? Jeff Male Ruberg.
That's a middle name. Do you actually want to know the system?
No.
Yeah.
I want you to think about your system.
How cool they are?
Uh-huh.
I'm super cool. This is because I am not feminine.
Ryuko's on top? See, yeah, I was going to say that Ryuko, like, but I wouldn't say that Sora is not feminine. I don't know, whatever.
Right?
That's, like, it's a different...
Yeah.
But actually, like, I guess the way you were talking so much about... We all have been talking so much about that one scene before you talked about the Yoli thing. Like, there was, I thought, much more problematic stuff right after that where...
Where she trips?
Yeah, so Kari trips.
Oh, well, that's one of my unanswered questions, actually.
She's fine after she trips.
Yeah, she's immediately fine right after the battle, and I'm like, what?
Wait, the time she trips because of the... Fireball?
Whenever she's running away from the Monochromon.
Yeah, but then she's like, I twisted my ankle, I can't run anymore, or something, whatever.
I'm more concerned about the angle of that fireball, because how did it even get near her? Because it goes straight, right?
Well, that's just animation, Digimon.
Animation's always terrible.
I know, but it was weird. It shouldn't have hit her at all, because that Monochromon was not facing down off the cliff.
Gravity? I don't know. But I mean, like, yeah, so Kari being the only one who trips is problematic. What I also found really problematic was how Davis, it's a call to action for Davis to build up his courage. And it's not like, and it's like everyone else is staying with Kari because they're like, we need to stay with Kari. And so Davis's reaction should be, I need to save everyone. They're all in danger. But his reaction is, I need to save Kari.
Yeah, and then he can digivolve.
And Davis is always like that. And, I mean, the show never says that that's a good thing. Like,
but he's rewarded for it. He gets the digivolution because of it.
Yeah, but I never got the feeling that Davis, that this was actually acceptable behavior. Like, even as a kid, I was like...
True.
Really?
I mean, I was mostly like, just want to motivate a male hero. You heard of woman.
Right, yeah. Right.
Okay. Check that box.
That particular scene did not strike me as insidious as the previous scene.
Yeah.
It's more commonplace.
Yeah. Doesn't mean it's good.
Not good.
It's not good. But like,
the fact that it's commonplace, like, means it's more obvious that it's bad.
Yeah.
In some ways. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, all the stuff with the other stuff with Davis and Kari is, like, much more overtly just like, ugh. Come on. It's so stereotypical and blunt.
Yeah.
Very blunt.
Like bludgeoning you over the head. This one was like a sneaky attack from behind.
Not even. It's more like not bludgeoning you. It's like crushing you.
Were you going to talk about Yuli and Cody and which crest they got?
I wasn't.
Well, I want to.
That whole thing is...
Like, I found it really interesting. Shouldn't use that word. And I'm not even sure what I mean.
It was weird.
But what I found interesting was that Sora is the one that suggests that Yuli try her egg.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that motivation doesn't come from anyone else. Doesn't come from, like, a guy being like, well, you're the girl, so here's love. It comes from Sora being like, I identify with you.
There's a thing called internalized misogyny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have much of it.
I'm saying the show is representing that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't call that particular thing misogyny, but it is.
Yeah.
It's shoving Yuli into a certain role. And, I mean, how much more interesting would this show have been if Cody had gotten love and Yuli had gotten knowledge? She's the one that knows things!
It would have been, like, infinitely more interesting.
And she's the one that's curious. Like, if you want to go by either definition of, like, wisdom or knowledge or curiosity, like, Yuli fits all of them better.
And Cody's the one that worries about, like, his relationships with people. Like,
and Yuli's the one that looks up to Izzy. Like,
yeah.
This place is so new to me. I have so many unanswered questions.
Why is TK's Digivice green?
Because.
What color should it be?
I don't know, but when you look at the others, except for the black one, of course, but their Digivices always have to do with their Digimon or their crests. So why is TK's green?
Patamon's eyes are green. We were over this already.
TK wears a partially green shirt.
So? But...
Wait, I don't even know what his crest is again. What is it?
So why is Davis's not red then?
Because Yuli is red.
I don't even know what color is his blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Vemon.
Davis wears blue.
Davis is so blue.
Vemon is blue.
Davis wears a blue shirt or a blue jacket with flames on.
Okay, that's true. But
maybe it's based on their clothes, not their Digimon.
I think it's really based on their clothes.
How did Ty get to the Digital World in episode 1?
Magic.
The gate was open.
But
nope, magic.
There's no gate. Like, you need the D3 to open the gates. How did Ty get a D terminal?
They had the D terminal.
When does Joe have time to watch TV for the survival shows? There was a line that Joe he was like, I learned all these things
on TV.
Oh yeah.
Nope, I'm not buying it.
Especially not if he's already training for med school.
Yep.
How
did Davis get changed to the middle of a cliff?
Oh, I did not question that. You don't question the Digimon Emperor.
He was knocked out.
Digimon don't have, like, opposable thumbs and shit. I'm not...
Wait, what? Digimon Emperor?
Yeah, you think he just climbed down the middle of a cliff?
No. I assumed he, like, manipulated the physicality of the world. Because he's manipulating Digimon's DNA and stuff later on. So why couldn't he do that with the actual
world? Then why can't the Digimon Emperor just make them all fall in a pit and die, then?
Because that wouldn't be fun. Does Ken know about non-Digimon living things in the digital world? Because he's like, I'm going to enslave every living thing in the digital world. And I was like, does he know about Genii and the Sparkles?
I don't think he does.
Does he want to enslave the Sparkles? I would pay to see that.
Wait, what are the sparkles?
The sparkles that possess Kari. I don't know what they are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those things?
Yeah, so, those sparkles.
So funny.
Why does no one use the computer lab?
Yes.
Why does Drillmon say the drill of power? I mean, we'll get to that. We'll fix it eventually.
Is the world still made out of dark gears?
Black gears.
Was that a thing?
You remember File Island?
I think that was just
Even File Island. Even after they got rid of... Oh, it was only File Island?
Yeah, I thought it was just File Island.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't have any more. They were all touched on in the episode.
Did you watch the show, Ashley?
Yep, but they were all touched on in earlier points in this episode.
Yeah, I'm done too.
Why are there TVs everywhere now?
Oh, I did have that one. Yeah.
Also, it was ridiculous how they didn't... So in Japanese, when... Gatomon sees a TV. Like, in English, there's that part where she's like, why do they call them rabbit ears? Mm-hmm. Like, in Japanese, that was Gatomon saying, like, she had heard that you can use those to communicate.
Oh.
Well,
actually, I have a theory about that. The digital world, because, you know, the kids went back and forth so many times, and there's those connections between the Digidestined and their partners, maybe the digital world and the human world are getting closer together, so there's more windows like those TVs into the... human world.
Especially permanent ones.
Especially since we know that the two worlds kind of hook up later on.
The problem I have with this is that, like, the season requires so many more mental somersaults to get things to make sense. I guess it was always kind of present.
I enjoy those somersaults. I enjoy the creative gymnastics required of this season.
Why are the control spires, like, why did Ken not just build them all, like, in a cluster? Like, why are they, like, spread out randomly?
He does.
No, but there's, like, weird patterns in there, like, white spots in the middle, and, like, I don't think he would just, you know, like, make, a nice, like, a black square of, like, 5x5, you know, like, it seems like that'd be more defensible then, because then, like...
It would be.
Well, I guess when you can just teleport into random places, that falls down.
Maybe he's just bad at Go.
No, he's good at everything. He is a perfect human being. Didn't you hear him?
Maybe he's just bad at Go, though.
No, he's good at everything. He could even play a single chess match on TV.
While people are watching.
Yeah.
What happened to all the Ultimates and Megas? Like, I can understand there aren't that many Megas. Maybe there's, like, a couple left or whatever. But, like, what about the Ultimates in this world?
Maybe everything was still growing back from the Dark Masters.
Like, every Ultimate Digimon was killed before?
Well, a lot of them died with the Dark Masters.
Technically, if we go by the Dark Masters, it took them forever to become Megas.
Right, but, like, I thought there were other... Maybe not other Megas, but...
Because, I mean, if we go by that the digital world is on the same time as the real world now, it's only been 4 years, so that's not enough time for Ultimates and Megas.
But there were other Ultimates that, like, weren't...
But it is enough time for Odaiba to get rebuilt from the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Toei.
In a way that, like, no one even acknowledges it. Like, I can understand the rebuilding, but, like, no one is even like, oh, yeah, whatever.
It's Toei. They rebuild cities in like, one episode.
Lovely.
Super Sentai.
Why did Mimi get a Digimon Analyzer? Like,
because she is a Digimon.
Yeah,
spoiler alert.
Mimimon!
What?
Mimimon.
Oh, okay.
She had the Digimon Analyzer in episode 6.
Yeah.
She did?
Yeah. You didn't see that?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I did. I was distracted by the fact that they put her last name first, even in the English.
Scandalous.
Wait, they did?
Yeah, they did. They called her Tachikawa Mimi, and I was like, huh?
We're taking this dialogue gap. We're going to go around and each pick our top 2 funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching lines from the episodes. You all get to choose the winner. If you comment, you have to comment. You're all very invested in who wins because you all have your personal little favorite lines when we know it. Jeff thinks this is like a sports draft, but that's because he doesn't understand sports. Obviously, we're doing 2 now because there are 4 people, and that does not mean that this should be 25% longer.
Okay, I'm going to pick one,
mm-hmm.
But I want you to call me out if it's problematic.
Go for it. I probably have it written down, too.
Do you know which one I'm talking about already?
Possibly. Go for it.
No.
Okay, so it's when we meet Davis' sister June, and she says she's talking about her shirt and asking Matt to sign it, and then asking TK to sign it, and she says,
I get all the cute boys to sign it.
And then TK says,
there's not a lot of room.
And then June says,
I know, I think all boys are cute.
That's not problematic. June is a funny creature.
No one laughed, though.
It's not even a funny.
Yes, it is. I thought it was funny that, like, someone would just, like, think that every boy was cute.
You failed.
It's funny that she would admit it.
Fine. See, Ashley, this is why, like, I'm like, I need to pick a good one or else it'll be really bad.
Why are you putting pressure on yourself? You are so weird.
Okay. This one is from episode 2, when they're going to look for, who's its crest? I guess Cody and Yuli's. And they're with Tentomon and Biomon have this exchange. Tentomon, I guess Tentomon speaks first. I actually don't know which one says what. But the exchange goes,
"There are no buildings around here."
"Nope, just the temple."
"Temple? Yeah, but it's closed down now."
"They couldn't book enough weddings or bar mitzvahs."
It was Tentomon who said, "Nope, just the temple." That's all I remember.
So it was probably Biomon who spoke first.
Yeah, Biomon went first. All right, Andrew, your turn.
Okay, this one's in the beginning of episode 6, and it's,
Oh, you took one of mine.
How do you know?
Because I also have the beginning of episode 6 up in here.
Okay.
"Will the owner of the gray 747 parked outside the window please report to the cockpit? Your lights are on."
Yeah, that was one of mine. But it was good.
That's another example of, like, the writers, like, same thing with the toilet label thing, where the writers were like, well, we have this, like, thing where there's no dialogue here, so, like, we need to do something.
Yep. And it was good. Okay. Okay. This is from the episode that shall not be named.
Yes.
There's just this one line in it, okay?
Is it Red Vegemon?
It is Red Vegemon.
I knew
and
it.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's after they beat him.
I know. And, oh, my
yeah,
God.
All right. I guess Andrew wrote the same line down. And he says,
"We are on the same wavelength."
Shut up.
No.
He goes,
"Whoa, did I get married while I was asleep?"
I knew it.
I was just, like, cracking up. Wait, what? Like, why would you think that?
I don't remember that line at all.
Because he's taking the black ring off himself. And Someone liked it and they put a ring on it.
Okay, do you think you would have gotten my Beyonce reference in the recap?
I got it.
Do you think most people would get it?
I didn't. What was that about?
Like, the Beyonce song, "If you like it, you better put a ring on it," or whatever.
Oh, that thing.
Yeah. When did you make that?
In the recap about episode 1, I say that the Digimon Emperor takes Beyonce's advice, or listens to a lot of Beyonce.
Oh, no, I didn't.
I know whichever one I choose, Ashley's going to be like, "You're terrible at this."
No comment. Slim Jamal's the best.
Okay, so this is episode 5, and I forget what just happened, but I think Ken's plans were foiled. Sorry, the Digimon Emperor's plans were foiled. Totally not Ken.
Right.
Digimon Emperor says something, it's like, "Let's go to plan B," and then says,
"Wormmon, what is plan B?" "Well..."
And then Wormmon says,
"We can all become friends."
Oh,
poor Wormmon.
That's sad.
Ken's a great villain.
Digimon Emperor.
Yeah, that guy. He's the Digimon Kaiser, and Kaiser starts with K, so Ken is a perfectly appropriate nickname for the Digimon Kaiser.
My turn. I'm choosing between two, though. Whatever. I'll go with the one from episode 6. The very beginning of their picnic, and Armadillomon throws the sushi roll to Hawkmon.
Oh, this one.
I like this so one. I wrote this
and
one
then Yoli says,
"Wait, Hawkmon, come back. It's just a California roll."
And the Hawkmon's like,
"Yes, well, it's rolling all the way back to California."
I loved it.
No, and I was like, "I live in California. Where is it?"
All right. Oh, no, it's Andrew's turn again.
Yay. Okay, this is actually, I think it's Mojiamon in episode 2, mm-hmm. when they're all walking away after the battle. Okay, he says,
"Being the Emperor's slave was the worst. All day long it's destroy this, destroy that, get me a cappuccino, boy."
God. I would not drink coffee from the digital world. Just saying. My turn. I will also pick a Ken quote from episode 5, towards the beginning. And he's talking to Goemon, I think. And Ken goes, okay, the Digimon Emperor goes,
"Number 1, don't ever talk to me without calling me sir. Number 2, don't ever talk to me."
I was just like, yes. That's what I want from my villains.
You can find detailed links and images of everything we discussed in this episode in our show notes at podigis.com/201. Check out the comment section on the site if you want to send feedback or see cool thoughts from other listeners. You can also leave comments on the Digimon subreddit and With the Will if you found us through there. We have a new poll on the episode page where you can vote to determine who wins the dialogue draft. We'll announce the winner next episode. We're trying out a bunch of new stuff with the new season, so as always, let us know what you think about the changes, or let us know what you think about the podcast or Adventure Zero 2 in general. If you like the podcast, a really cool and helpful way to show support is to leave us a star rating and written review on iTunes so new people can find the show, even if you don't use iTunes to listen to the show yourself. We have our first rating from Canada this time. Huge thanks to Zawine. Follow us at Podages on Twitter, Facebook, or Tumblr to hear more about the show between each episode.
Next time on Podages, we watch episodes 7 through 12 and find out that Ken is the 8th Digitester.
Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop Digivolving.
You have food. Make eggs.
Well, except for the eggs, I don't have food.
Digi eggs?
It's already
the egg has already... Darn it. I hate you so much.
Agumon can't Digivolve. Damn it.
I missed this.
Yeah, Agumon can't Digimon, guys. God.
Remember when we had that segment I wanted to do where it was like, Jeff guesses the color of Digimon?
No, we're not talking about that time. That time was not a time that happens.
Wait, Ashley. Ashley, this is totally irrelevant. Did you look at the Digivolution chart at all? The Digi-Egg chart? Did you see what happens when Hawkmon has Matt's egg, when has the Crest of Friendship?
That sounds weird, but no.
It becomes a skating Digimon. Rinkmon.
Oh, snap, wait, I don't want to go see that.
It has skates as part of the Digimon.
Wait, what? Wait, Hawkmon?
With Friendship? It's the second column.
Rinkmon? What the heck is this? Holy crap. My new favorite Digimon.
I shouldn't have mentioned this now because I should have known that it would throw everything off so much.
Damn.
What were we talking about before I distracted us?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Whatever it was wasn't as cool as Rinkmon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they can't even pronounce Kabuterimon correctly anymore.
Is it Digimon or Digimon? I don't know. I still don't know.
True fact. Back when we planned this podcast, I was like, should we have topical episodes? We don't talk about the show. One of the topics could be, is it Digimon or Digimon? Which was the stupidest idea for a podcast ever.
That's impressive, because we've had a lot of stupid ideas for this podcast.
Asher, we need to keep watching it. Wait, first
We do need to keep watching it.
We need to finish Card Captors. On this new adventure.
Yes,
yes. A quest for all time.
I miss you, Fox Kids. I miss you.
Well, Saturday morning cartoons ended officially today. There's no more Saturday morning cartoon block. Nope. The last today was the last airing of CW's The Vortex, and that was the last surviving block. So there's nothing left.
Huh.
This is a tragic day for children across the end of America.
Well, there's always cartoons on somewhere.
I guess.
Well, yeah.
If you had...
Right, I guess if I were a kid, I would watch stuff online. I wouldn't...
I mean, you can watch cartoons...
No, I mean, even if you don't have cable, you watch it online.
But you can watch cartoons whenever you want now, so it's like, why would you wait for Saturday anymore?
Because the anticipation is part of the fun. Anymore.
Yeah, but it was mostly reruns anyway.
Well, kids like reruns. I liked reruns.
Yeah, but it was reruns of 4 kids' TV shows.
Mm.
Like Sonic X.
Yeah.
Sonic
on the run. Sonic's number one.
They did talk about Digimon rather cavalierly out in the open where other people were around, especially in that first episode. And I was like, I don't know if you should be saying that right now.
The idea that Ty would have told Davis about the digital world, like, well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is part of like my general complaints about Zero 2 is that like the cat is out of the bag about the Digimon world.
But they're still trying to keep it a secret.
Oh, that's true.
Right. I think my justification for that was that they didn't want their parents to worry. They're mostly hiding it from their parents. Because their parents already had to live through frickin' Myotismon.
Odaiba was destroyed. They should all have, like, dealt with relocation and they would have been refugees.
I mean, they all freaked out when there was a terrorist attack.
Yeah, so why didn't they...
Like,
Why didn't they move?
our entire island was destroyed.
Why did TK's mom move back?
Why are we still in the same place that almost got destroyed by missiles?
That only happened in the movie.
Yeah, but that happened.
Well, it still happened.
Debatable.
Are you saying that? Are you saying that to deny Tiora?